Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitation for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Take this square world and blast off the kick drill.
Let's listen to Rob do some interviews with lame celebrities.
Very good.
These are people that, frankly, we didn't want to waste your valuable time with yesterday. So during commercials, Rob and Charlie Boyhill interviewed them, and we promised CBS that we would play these interviews back on today's show.
It just sounds funny when you say Rob and Charlie Boyhill interviewed them.
Yeah, Charlie's on it.
Pretty funny that he's involved in this.
This first one, her name is Park Overall, and she's on that show that was on last night, but perhaps best remembered as the lovable whore in Biloxi Blues.
That's right.
She got that southern thing.
Oh, we discussed that.
She was on the show Empty Nest.
I tried to play it sort of straight to see if the stars would say stupid things. So that's
did you ask her the question about Mel?
Mel comes up in the interview.
Did you ask about how she's proud to be working for CBS? Robbie and I were doing a whole bunch of questions that we were supposed to ask.
Mike, I'm trying, all right? Am I not doing better?
No, you're doing fine. I'm sorry.
What's she supposed to do better?
I wasn't laughing at that.
You're laughing at what? My breathing heart.
No, I was laughing at something on your nose.
Let me see.
Oh, he's just got another pimple.
It's huge, though, and it started.
It looks unbelievably
painful.
You know
what? I think I can thank the palm for that, because the amount of fat in that meal has centered in my head and out the left side of my nose. I'm sorry. I was sensitive about the breathing.
No,
this I can't even
mind. I didn't even notice the breathing.
I put my glasses on this morning. They sprung off. It was horrible.
Wow.
Okay.
And then the zit laughed.
Simply horrible. All right. Well, let's hear Robbie. Let me see who's on the phone first. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, that was the guy who hung up. Somebody wants to say something about you, Rob. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Alan Thicke, and I would like to speak to Don and Mike.
Right, Alan Thicke. If you were Alan Thicke, you wouldn't sound...
My damn song on there.
No, you wouldn't sound like that. You'd sound more like this. This is Alan Thicke, and I want to talk to Don and Mike and tell them they are grounded for playing that song.
They are grounded.
Come on now. You don't sound anything like Alan Thicke.
This is Alan Thicke.
Oh, come on. Right. Let's hear Rob with Park Overall.
Your name's Charlie? Why does he sit so far away?
It's taken us this year.
This is the beginning of the interview?
That's the first thing she says?
Yeah. Your name's Charlie?
Well, she's immediately smitten with Charlie Boyhill.
Rewind it.
Your name's Charlie?
So explain this to me. You're sitting where I was sitting, and Broyhill's sitting in Mike's chair, right?
But the first thing she says is, your name's Charlie, because she's talking to Charlie. She's automatically drawn to Broyhill.
All right. Here she is, Park Overall.
Your name's Charlie? Why does he sit so far away?
It's taken us this year years to get him this close.
It's when we're on a plane.
It is. You really hate sitting near me on a plane.
You just hate being on a plane or sitting near him?
I don't like him.
He doesn't like you.
I hear Charlie in the background saying, I don't like him.
Does Charlie ever talk on microphone?
Oh, yeah. He gets closer to the mic.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
We're partners.
Hey, that's what I call you, that dedication and teamwork.
Well, it's just me trying to be close and him pushing.
Wait, what have you got, a stopwatch?
Stopwatch. I got to keep track of everything. He says a ramble.
What?
Are you a Yankee?
No.
What are you?
He's a Broyhill.
Are you a Yankee?
At any point, did she have any idea that you guys could not be further from two guys really doing a radio show?
She eventually asks, who are Don and Mike? But you'll enjoy that. You'll enjoy that. It comes up. It sort of comes full circle.
Okay. But right now, she thinks that it's really you and Charlie doing a radio
thanks
show.
Thinks it's a show.
Very
thanks
good.
It's a good show.
Very good.
No.
Are you a Yankee?
No, really, technically not. We're from Virginia.
Yes.
Can't you tell by our thick accent?
No. I can't.
You're not.
No, I'm from Tennessee.
Well, Mike, I trust you're rolling on all of this.
2 points, dude. 2.
We're here with...
Oh, it killed me. It just killed me. Did you watch Miss America?
Hold on a second. Is she wasted?
I don't know.
What
she didn't smell wasted.
What's 2 points mean?
I think it was something that someone said to her behind her, and she chose that moment to get on the mic and scream 2 points. Do you remember what it was?
Talking about what?
Because broadcaster Charlie Broyhill.
Hi, partner. Shut up. She was talking about
an obvious broadcaster.
That's correct. At the time, it was the Florida-Tennessee football game.
Played
on Saturday.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was excited about a score.
She was disappointed.
Ah.
Tennessee lost.
She's a little late on that. She's 2 days late on that. She just heard?
No, I was rubbing it in.
Okay. All right. You were talking to her about Florida, Tennessee.
Okay. All right.
Park overall.
Hey.
Claire Stiles in a ladies' van. How exciting is it to be a part of CBS's Monday night lineup?
I don't know. Everybody, y'all are much more excited about Monday night than me. I don't watch TV, so I didn't know it was a big deal. I would have thought Monday night football would have been the thing, but apparently we come on before Monday night football.
Yeah, but I mean, that's such a great lineup with King of Queens.
I've never seen those shows, honey. Have you?
Oh, every.
Have you, Charlie?
Oh, yes.
Mm. Like Charlie.
Charlie, honey.
You come here and come to mama. It's like she's very close to the character in Biloxi Blue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's, you know, who knows how contrived it is. It sounds a little contrived. Yeah.
Charlie?
You come over here to mama. You sit on my lap.
Never miss it. But you're on a great cast. You're a ladies' man. And you got to be excited to be working with Betty White.
Betty White, when I am not funny, I pull Betty over and I say, Betty, why am I not funny? And she will say, oh, dear darling, what, Betty? And she will tell me, emphasize this word, emphasize this line. Park, this is an old joke, is it, Betty? Yes, this is an old joke. Here's how the joke goes. I swear to you.
She must be asking Betty White that an awful lot on that show.
Yeah, I saw even the 5 minutes of that show I saw.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, she's supposed to be the funny one, and she came into the room, and it was just like.
In the bathroom?
Yeah. I mean. Contrived.
Yuck.
She has saved my ass a couple of times.
She is really cool. She was by earlier today, and she's just
incredible. And
cool.
You know, she and I share a love of animals. We are really into critters.
Oh, I see.
In a big way.
Critters. I can tell by the way you talk. Now, you're from what part of New York?
East Tennessee. We make the distinction. Dixie Carter, also on our show, is from West Tennessee. There's East, Middle, and West. We make the distinction because we are that way.
Could you imagine what a bore this would be if you really had to sit and listen? This hick talk. Can you imagine if we actually had to have her on the show trying to do this interview?
Well, with her clothes on.
Did you get a good look at her when she was walking through the crowd?
Yes, I did, honey.
Right.
I don't know. It's a choice between her and Tyne.
Oh,
really?
Tyne Daly. I don't know if we mentioned this yesterday. Tyne Daly officially is a man and wears this, no joke.
Yeah.
Special shoes.
Yeah, she was wearing some shoes for support.
Hmm.
It was, you know, like the old nurse shoes.
Right.
You see, the old lady shoes that my aunts used to wear.
Tyne Daly is a freaking monster. She is like Tom Gavin's mother.
Oh, man.
When she came walking into the room yesterday.
Yeah, it was just like,
it was like a New York brownstone in corrective shoes. She came walking in yesterday. I swear to God. The first person she went to hug was Doris Roberts.
Yes, and I mean, she made Doris Roberts look really like, you know, let's go to Acapulco.
Doris Roberts, who incidentally I heard when we were leaving, was pissed.
That she didn't get to do the show?
Yeah, that we didn't have her down on the list.
Mm. Oh, really? Did we specifically not have her on that list, or was it we just ran out of time?
No, they said, who do you want from Raymond?
We did want the other lady from Raymond.
The mom or the wife?
We'd never interviewed her before.
Patricia Heaton
was very nice.
I'm trying to have that hot Patricia Heaton.
But Tyne also made a real entrance, too. Like, you know, surrounded by people.
Didn't you think she was dressed like a bag lady,
though,
when
absolutely.
She came in?
And her hair, that stringy gray hair now that she's got, it's like, hello.
Leah had some nasty things to say about her, too. I'm sure she doesn't want us to repeat,
of course.
Right here.
Sure.
She had a lot of things to say about Tyne Daly.
Tyne apparently, you know, is the star, too.
Right.
Absolutely. Like some other, you know, somebody was telling us Faye Dunaway has the same thing. You know,
yeah.
When they've been at it a while.
I think it was Leah Remini who was telling us.
No, somebody else had said that. I forgot who it was that said worked with Faye Dunaway. And I was trying, Because we didn't ask Leah that question. We wouldn't have asked her that question.
We talked about Tyne Daly, though, because we saw Tyne Daly.
Yeah, we did talk about Tyne Daly.
When we were walking out with Leah, we said, look at her. Look at Nurse Ballbreaker over there.
Darn, I wish I could remember who we said that.
Well, somebody. Hold on a second. Robbie?
Yes.
We've not even started to listen to this interview, right? There's
right.
Plenty more? Okay. And who else?
Spoozy Kurtz.
Oh.
That's the one that Rob said was... She was an actress.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Rob's very exciting interview.
Thank you.
With the very worthless Park Overall from CBS Monday.
York. East Tennessee. Make the distinction. Dixie Carter, also on her show, is from West Tennessee. There's East, Middle, and West. We make the distinction because we are that way.
Is there any
you are a Yankee,
no.
As far as I'm concerned.
No, we're from Virginia.
Northern.
Yeah, but above Northern Virginia, there's still Maryland.
That's true.
And they all seceded.
Charlie's getting closer.
Yes. We're working with... you've worked with a lot of great people. I'm looking over your bio. You worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. What was that like? He must have been pretty incredible.
He's a big man.
Yes.
He's like really a big man.
I think this answers a lot of questions for people who wonder... Why is there not a Rob Spiewak show?
Oh, God. Tonight on CBS, it's the Rob Spiewak interview.
Who directed that movie? Ivan
Reitman.
Reitman. They would each morning, somebody would come later and later just to see who could be the latest. So we'd get started around 1 o'clock. That's a true story.
Are you on time usually for stuff like that?
Hell yeah.
You have to be, don't you?
Well, I don't think much of people who are late. Are you ever late?
I've never been late.
Charlie?
What's the question?
Are you late? Are you ever late?
Charlie! You know, she mentioned to Charlie again.
Right.
Since we came back from break, she said something about Charlie.
Yeah, and right? Charlie says it got more interesting.
Okay.
No, never.
Do your job. Yeah,
never.
I try not.
Charlie's never told me what time I had to be there, so I've never been late as far as...
Charlie's a jumpy fellow. He's always looking around
jumpy.
With a stopwatch. What's that about?
So I'm not late. I want to make sure I'm everywhere on time.
I would tell you what's so funny about this is that when we take our breaks, when we do our show, even if we're on the road or in the studio,
right.
We always break for the same amount of time, 6.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason Broyhill's looking at his stopwatch is
right.
That he knows that he only has 6.5 minutes
yep.
Before Mike and I come waltzing back.
Sure.
And at that point,
right.
We don't want to have to say to Lacey Underalls here, listen,
right.
Honey... You're not really good enough to be interviewed on the real show. Now you got to move.
You know, can we hear the last laugh that she had? Did anybody hear that?
Yes.
That quality? That is really strangulated. That's fascinating. You hear that?
All right, let me hear it. Let's listen.
No.
Charlie's never told me what time I had to be there, so I've never been late as far as.
Charlie's a jumpy fellow. He's always looking around
jumpy.
With a stopwatch. What's that about?
So I'm not late.
Right here.
I want to make sure I'm everywhere on time. Now, I think the part you're probably best known for your role in Biloxi Blues.
Oh, you think?
And it says here...
I was the whore in Mississippi Burning, too.
It says the lovable prostitute. Now, by definition, doesn't a prostitute have to be lovable?
I don't think so at all.
She's going to fail otherwise.
She just has to be likable.
So you played it on stage and in the movie, right?
Yeah, I did.
Do you prefer stage work to movie work? Or what? How do
I like them both. I'm very lucky to work at all at my age.
I would second that.
Absolutely.
You're lucky to be working.
Well, and I just like it all. Stage work is the most difficult, obviously,
uh-huh.
And the most compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Film work is
stages her
a
makeup
lot of fun.
In the morning.
You just live from trailer to trailer, and I think that's pretty neat.
A lot of people said that film work...
Who's Charlie looking for?
Everybody.
are you looking for stars, Charlie? Are you...
It's so funny. He's looking for us.
Right.
He wants to make sure that you and I don't come back around the corner.
Who's Charlie looking for?
He's looking, saying, you got to get her out of here in 2 minutes before they get back.
He's still got your stopwatch.
And she's focused on him.
I'm not looking for anything.
You're not?
No. I'm just looking.
If y'all could see him, he's just looking and looking and looking and watching his stopwatch.
He likes to watch. He likes to keep things
going. Are you an observer?
Yes.
You're an observer. Yes, I'm an observer, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep going. I'm enjoying this.
Are you married, Charlie?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I haven't met someone to marry.
How old are you?
35.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can ask me out if you like.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. She asked you out, Charlie. She must really go for stupid guys. I mean, listen to this. She's really coming on to him.
You know, after the interview, she walked up and said,
I really like to do you. I want to do you.
You.
John.
Yeah,
I know.
Hold on, back it up. We're going to get her age now, I think, right?
72.
Are you married, Charlie?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I haven't met someone to marry.
How old are you?
35.
35.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can ask me out if you like.
Okay.
How
old are you?
I'm 42. I don't know why people, why women are touchy about that.
Isn't that a Southern thing, as from someone from Tennessee?
Oh, I think it absolutely is, and I would never ask a Southern woman, but I'd ask almost anyone else.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Hey, Charlie, get a little more confident now.
As a Southerner, and it does creep through occasionally on certain words you say, what's it like living in Los Angeles? This is a crazy town.
Oh, do you think? See, I think New York's a
She has no idea that she's just being goofed with, right?
No, not at all.
She really thinks it's the Rob Stewart show.
Yeah, and it's, she's...
He does, Greg. This is a crazy town.
It's wild.
Really?
Wild.
Yeah, I like it here. They got Walmart and Kmart and highways and cars and things
all
that I can relate to. Yeah,
all
that's
the
all the marts. And we got... Yeah, I just like it. I like the weather. I like the people. People act like Hollywood's like some really weird deal. It's really not. It's just very provincial people, frankly.
Does it bother you that they use the wrong time zone?
No.
Really?
I like being 3 hours younger than the rest of...
That is a Rob question right there. You confused her, Rob, with your very dry wit.
The wrong time zone.
What are you talking about?
That's a good way to look at it. We're here with Park Overall, Claire Stiles, and Ladies Man, and that's going to be on Monday nights. I think it's at 8:30.
Yeah.
8:30
Please
on CBS.
Join us.
Everybody join in and watch that. And we really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, guys.
We wish you lots of success.
Have all the Yankees join us.
I shall. And I want to give you a keychain before you go. And one last question.
Hey.
It must be so exciting to be on CBS. What's your favorite thing about the Columbia Broadcasting System?
Is that what the C is?
I didn't even know that. I did not know that.
Really?
No.
You just heard some of that rapier Braille whip.
Is that what the C is? Hey! Me love you. Me. You ask me out.
Well, but what's your favorite
thing? I'll tell you what my favorite thing is.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been on TV for years, you know, mm-hmm. and they send you a gift all the time for Christmas and
right.
things. CBS sends the best gifts.
What'd you get last year?
You get gifts?
You get gifts.
We don't.
Like NBC once sent an airplane blanket that said NBC on it. That's one dumb gift. That's dumb.
Well, if you have a cold airplane.
Yeah, but it was a Christmas gift.
I suppose.
You don't send airplane blankets.
Did you get anything from ABC ever?
No, because I never worked on ABC except for movies, and they send nice T-shirts.
Okay, how about Fox?
I've never been on Fox.
Any cable gifts?
No. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
But that was from a...
Imagine this dumb bitch really thinks that this is a real radio show. And anybody would really be remotely interested in listening to this. I mean, not if it wasn't a goof. Yeah. Yes. No, let me think about it. That's on a cable movie there.
Airplane blanket.
They sent me an airplane blanket.
Charlie?
Are you married?
Ask me. You can ask me out.
For sure. They send jewelry and stuff. But... CBS sent this time, they sent a photo album of like hardwoods,
mm-hmm.
and then you open in the box, and then I have all my llamas and horses put in the,
I see.
The picture.
You know what?
What? I don't get it.
I don't know.
CBS sent her a photo album.
Like, for her to put her
and
own pictures in?
Pictures of critters in it.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Picture.
You know what would be a good picture for that photo album? Is Mel Karmazin.
Who's Don and Mike?
Don and Mike?
Uh-oh.
Those are my employers.
Huh. What?
You sound so disappointed.
Well, I just Don and Mike show, and neither one of you are Don and neither one of you are Mike.
I'm sort of a stringer for the Don and Mike.
There you go.
Oh, you're the stringer. Okay. Uh-oh.
Because what we have is CBS has provided so much grand entertainment, it's too much for one show.
That's right.
So we're doing additional segments that will air throughout the week.
I see. And so, you're in the Washington, D.C. area?
And about 60 other cities coast to coast.
Is that right?
Thusly illustrated by my partner.
Oh, Bakersfield. You're in Bakersfield.
You know,
right.
Listen to her tone now. You have identified yourself as a stringer.
Yes.
She has a decided lack
happy.
Of energy.
Not happy.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Closing in. Anything in
Mobile?
Tennessee? Partner?
Not a thing.
Tennessee? No. But we have been there, I think.
You've been to Tennessee?
Yeah, we've
seen pictures.
I've been to Graceland.
That laugh.
I guess that does that count?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Y'all ever been to Dollywood?
No, but you know, Don has been to the Country Stampede, whatever Dolly Parton's restaurant
it's
is.
Pretty good.
And, yeah, you have to eat chicken with your hands there.
Yeah.
It sucks. Maybe you folks have heard me discuss that on some of our best
Dixie
tapes.
Stampede, because you had such a bad time, I checked it out myself.
But in Myrtle Beach, it's the worst place I've ever been to in my life.
And all the songs you were accurate about, too, is like, eat your chicken, eat it good, slop up all your chicken with your biscuit in there.
And I don't see how any black people could go there,
right.
Because the whole point is, the wrong side won the war.
Yes, it's
the
battle.
Wrong side won the war.
You're sitting there eating chicken. It's a reenactment of the Civil War.
Oh, God.
It's really weird.
They actually said with an audience that was mixed,
mm-hmm.
blacks and whites, they said, on this side of the arena, you're rooting for the North.
Right.
On this side, you're rooting for the South.
Oh, I mean, really, you expect the next line to be, pardon our insensitivity.
So the
games begin.
You actually have black people
right.
who are sitting on the South side
uh-huh.
who are rooting for the South because they're being told to by Dolly Parton's
yeah.
waiters and waitresses.
From the guy that's standing on the horse's back. You know? And then but a lot of the songs are like, you know, eat your food, it's good, rip the legs off the chicken.
Sucked. She loved it. Shocker. Park Overall loved it.
Right, yeah, you have to eat chicken with your hands there.
Yeah, you have to eat chicken, but you get some damn good entertainment.
He said it was
excellent.
Very, very good.
I know people should be on Broadway and stuff.
Well, perhaps someday. Well, they're telling me that we need to go. So Park Overall.
They're nervous bunch. I think.
Claire Stiles, ladies, you know, they were calm until Charlie got here. She's in
really
Ladies' Man.
Nervous.
Make sure you watch it Monday nights on CBS.
Hey, you're a doll. Thank
Park,
you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
A lot.
Have a good one. Bye-bye now.
Oh, she was just, she was like, wow.
Thank you.
Hey, Robbie, we'll listen to Swoozy Kirk's tomorrow.
Okay. Robbie,
I enjoyed that so much, I would rather save that for tomorrow.
I would, too.
We can really enjoy it.
Oh, Miss Charlie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mark. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, the Ask a Father Show, I look at McDonald's.
Oh, I got to tell you, I about bust a gut. Did you see me wave at you Friday, Dennis?
Yeah.
I was pulling out of the station on Friday night. Remember, Dennis came down to show us his underwear, and he's a man of his word.
Yep.
I went down to the corner by the McDonald's and made my right-hand turn to start my drive home.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis was in the parking lot, and he had his underpants hanging from his aerial.
Hey,
yep.
That'll help you wash down your McNuggets.
Hanging from his antenna on his car. And he was actually selling a T-shirt to a guy, and I drove by, and it was just surreal. I saw those underpants hanging from his radio antenna. I just honked my horn and went, good night, Dennis.
Your last view of the area on a Friday night, a great entrepreneur.
Look, God, guess what happened?
What?
Austin, a cab driver, bought my underwear for $40.
He bought your underwear?
Oh, my God.
Why would someone want to buy those underpants?
God, I don't know.
He's a fan.
Austin, but you got to have those underwear. I got, sure.
All right.
I'll pay you $40. I go, okay.
Well, congratulations.
And how many T-shirts did you sell, Ben?
Oh, I sold seven.
Seven T-shirts and $40 for your briefs.
Yeah, and also I got a whole bunch of double-tree chocolate chip cookies, too.
Oh, right. Well, there was some of the chocolate chip cookies in those briefs that you had.
Oh, okay, Mike.
Those were some nasty underpants, Dennis.
That's right. Come on, Con.
You know what? I'd love that cab driver to call the show.
Yeah.
I'd love to interview the man that bought Dennis's underpants for $40.
They will not.
But hats off to you, the Donald Trump
right.
of the Don and Mike Show. You managed to turn a tidy profit indeed, Mr. Bigglesworth, on those underpants.
And all I was saying, Dennis.
$7 in t-shirts. I'm happy.
And all I was saying, Dennis, was it just looked like you were, you know, carrying some chocolate chip cookies in those briefs.
Okay, Mike, I know what you're saying.
Right after they were baked.
Okay.
All right.
I can't believe you.
Congratulations on selling your underpants for $40,
no
Dennis.
No problem.
Dennis?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Dennis has sold his first painting.
That's right.
Buzz took his money pills today.
He's
you
revved
see?
Up.
Yeah. You see? You leave him behind for a day.
Sure.
Look at that. Makes him work a little harder.
Right.
Like that, Buzz. Like that. Okay, we'll be right back.
This
we do have the smoothie.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Dad, why are you always talking about your wife? Who cares if you beat your wife? Everybody beats your wife.
The Don and Mike Show.
They only hit you because they love you. Don and Mike.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I like to
and outside the Don and Mike World Broadcast headquarters is Jimmy the intern working on another of our developing stories today, as the newscasters say.
Now breaking news.
Here is Jimmy the intern reporting live from the car/house of Rob Grippy.
The Jetta, the Volkswagen Jetta belonging to Rob Grippy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jimmy.
How do I describe this? It is his house.
Okay.
Each different part of the car is a different room in the house.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm looking at the passenger side, and I would have to categorize that as possibly his entertainment room.
Yeah.
I'm finding a guitar, newspapers, food, peanuts. I mean, I can't see anything on this part. Plus, the floor is covered with almost a sawdust kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've now counted maybe 5 toenails or fingernails.
Ah.
And that don't make you gag.
Oh, God.
Are they big?
They are big and brown.
Oh, no. That's making me gag. That's making me gag, and I'm not even there.
Well,
oh, goodness. All right, so the passenger seat is his home entertainment center. What is in the back seat?
As I look into the back seat behind the driver's side, I'd have to say that's either the shower room along with the
dressing room,
the washer seat and dryer, because there's a big, huge bag, you know, like you'd take over to your parents' house to have washed all your
laundry
clothes.
Right. That's his laundry bag.
A big laundry bag.
Oh.
And
imagine if you open that bag right now.
Oh, my God.
Imagine the smell. Imagine the stench.
You know what would happen if you open that bag? The laundry would just start running out on its own.
There's various towels also there. The towels looking like they haven't been washed in a little while.
What's behind the passenger seat?
Behind the passenger
seat? Human head, Mike.
This is going to have to be the bedroom / maybe food room as well, along with huge blankets.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen maybe 5 pizza boxes.
Taking home the profits.
Old T-shirts and more of the same sawdust.
Well, give us an idea of the food residue, too, some of the other food items that are in there.
The food residue, okay, what I have as far as that is concerned, peanuts that have a thick layer of dust.
Gross.
Across the can.
Gross.
I have a Slurpee container, which I'm now touching against my better judgment.
Yeah. Cooties.
That's been emptied, and it looks like the purple stuff that was in there is now a crust.
The protective crust.
A huge big gulp thing that I'm not even going into. You can forget that.
Okay.
And
are there any McDonald's wrappers or fast food wrappers evidence?
No, the only evidence I would see as far as that's concerned, Don, is perhaps maybe the food had fallen on the floor with the toenails, and that's what makes up part of the...
So what is the... Ask him what the sawdust type stuff is.
Hold on just a second. What's the sawdust stuff on the ground? Hello?
Rob, what is the sawdust type stuff on the floor of your car?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Now, wait a minute.
Stuff right there?
All this stuff.
What is that?
That's just, I don't have a one of them dust vac things, so...
Are they crumbs? Primarily crumbs?
Primarily crumbs, yeah.
There's no human skin there, is there?
What?
There's no human skin there, is there?
I don't think so. Cool. I mean, I guess, you know...
Yeah, so crumbs and toenails pretty much is the...
Why do you clip your toenails and leave them in the car, Rob?
I don't... Don, I'm going to venture a guess that he doesn't clip. Do you just sort of break them off?
No. I have clippers right there in the passenger seat.
He does have clippers.
So are those toenails or are those fingernails that Jimmy sees in your car?
They could be either. I mean, I don't know. I didn't expect him to actually go over this so closely.
Yeah, who's to know that?
Yeah, I
do
know.
You subsist, Rob? Do you subsist primarily on pizza?
Well, you know, pizza, fast food. I can't really cook. So
where would you cook?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
you know, there's usually old, you know, fingernail, toenail deposits, and you know, people.
All right, let me see if I can narrow it down a little bit. On a given week, an average week, how many times a week will you have pizza for dinner?
Pizza for dinner? Yeah. Oh, 3 or 4.
What about on the other nights?
Well, you know, just I'll just get something to eat when I'm hungry. Burger King, McDonald's, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what happens when you have to go?
Yeah, in the middle of the night, man.
You just drive somewhere that's open and go.
I see.
Like, where do you go in the middle of the night to go?
Well, you know, just whatever's open. 24-hour restaurant, that kind of thing.
Denny's, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
They ever get mad because you're just coming in to use their facilities?
No, they get mad at me for other reasons. I mean,
why? Why would they get mad at you? What are the other reasons, Rob?
Yes, I'm fascinated.
No, the thing about being Denny's is really kind of funny because I used to hang out there with my friends until like all hours of the morning, just all the time. Yeah. You know?
And?
That's it. So you'd be troublemakers?
And eventually, eventually after, you know, like a while of doing this, you know, they say, you know, you come in here and you get coke and you stay here for 8 hours, you know. Would you please stop doing that? And then eventually they kick you out.
So you would come in and buy one glass of Coca-Cola, then you would stay all day or all night?
Yeah, well, I used to do that. I used to, me and a bunch of insomniacs used to just, you know, hang out.
Hard to believe that Denny's would frown on that policy.
Yeah, and hard to believe you'd be an insomniac either, living in that. And you know, I think you said to us before, you sleep on the driver's side, right?
Yeah, just
like with the steering wheel in your crotch while you're sleeping.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, can we talk to Jimmy again?
Right, he's still sitting in the car here.
Okay.
There he is.
Yeah, Jimmy, don't sit in that.
Yeah.
I found the food wrappers.
Oh, you did?
They're under the driver's seat. No wonder I didn't see him.
What do you got?
Some Taco Bell. It looks like a McDonald's wrapper. Got big fan of the Mounds bar. And most of these wrappers are not the pearl white, I don't think, when they first came to them.
A little dog-eared, huh?
Just a little.
Do the wrappers, I hesitate to ask, but I must. Do the wrappers look like perhaps they could be used for other functions other than
Mike, you're going to have to come out here and check that one.
Okay, that's a yes as far as I'm concerned.
Mike, this is for you.
I just picked up his...
just got to ask, Don. Couldn't help myself.
I just picked up his vehicle registration renewal fee form.
Yeah.
And there's about like 4 gum wrappers stuck to it by brown old liquid.
Brown old liquid stuff.
Wow. Listen, I want you to lick it and identify it.
Get out of that car, Jimmy.
Come in and walk.
Okay.
Get out of the car.
Bye, guys.
We're going to have to give you one of those special showers like they had in the movie Outbreak. Yes.
Hold on. Rob wants to say one more thing to you.
Okay. I'm itching just thinking about it.
Rob, what do you want?
I just Jimmy is being a tad melodramatic. That's all I wanted to say.
What would you like to say in your defense, Rob?
I feel no need to defend myself, sirs.
Okay. All right.
That's your home, okay. And you stand by it.
Okay. There he is.
You know what it's like when you have unexpected guests. I mean, you never straighten up enough.
Absolutely. I expected absolutely no guests.
All right. Well, Rob, listen, that guy left his number if you want to think about living with somebody in a real house, but I think you're happier in your car.
Well, I'll give the guy a call.
Okay.
It works out.
All right. Well, don't do us any favors.
Guys.
Whatever.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Don. Happy birthday, Jimmy.
Thank you. Let him go now.
All right, he's gone.
Please release the hostage.
He's walking toward you right now.
Okay, thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye, Rob.
That's Rob Grippy, everyone.
Yeah. Lives in his car.
Infrequent visitor to the program.
Don and Mike show.
Wow.
Yeah, Don and Mike, just me?
Yeah, you know, hi, hold on a second. I was just asking Buzz there during the last commercial break. I said, do you think that's translating on the air? Because I could just seriously sit and stare at Rob Grippy and ask him about his lifestyle.
Hundreds of questions come to mind, obviously, as I just demonstrated.
For a lot longer than we spent time with him. I mean, he is one weird dude.
He's, we get the impression that he's in his car and he's happy about it. Very odd.
That's weird, man.
It is weird. It's weird out there.
So anyway, we came to the conclusion,
yeah.
It's pretty interesting to listen to.
Sure is.
Wouldn't be interesting every day.
No.
It's interesting like on the very infrequent schedule that Rob Grippy's on with us.
Yeah, he just pops up every now and then outside with a sign.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, Don and Mike show. Hi.
First of all, happy birthday, Don, and happy birthday, Jimmy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I used to be one of those insomniacs at Denny's that would hang out with people like Rob Grippy.
You sound like Rob Grippy, yeah.
Actually, I met him, I'd say, last fall on a coffee binge at about 3 a.m. He was actually a real nice guy. I never knew he lived in his car. He's not overly... Well, compared to all the people we hung out with, he was not overly dirty or smelly at that point in time. I don't know what he's like now.
Well, you know, I mean, when you talk to him, he's confusing because we can't figure him out. That's one of the things we can't figure out.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we were talking about politics. He said the UN peacekeepers should be called something more fearful, like the UN Flaming Metal Death, and I thought that was kind of kind of an odd thing, but yeah, he's a pretty odd guy, but he's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
All right, thank you. Well, there is one recommendation, one vote of confidence.
Character reference.
Yeah. Character reference. Thank you, Buzz.
And a little pearl of wisdom that came out of a late night conversation at Denny's over coffee.
Don and Mike Show. Hello. All right. Hello. You are on the air. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. I know it's human interest, but you promised you weren't going to leave him on the air long.
How long was he on? That was only one break.
That seemed like forever.
All right. Excuse me. I thought that might be how it was going. That's why I engaged with Buzz. I said, do you think people are still listening to that?
I'm a diehard. Coming off a two-girl show. To that.
Listen, I like to think that's the diversity of our show.
I think that offers balance, sir.
Yeah. That's right.
What a downer.
It can't all be a party. It's not true. You know, this show is like life.
Yeah.
It cannot be a two-girl show.
We'll get back to the two-girl show because we're going to call Rudy's wife in a second.
Hot dog.
I didn't want you to think we forgot about that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Here you go.
Grippy doesn't have a lot of fans.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Grippy. Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
I'd just like to remind everybody of another guy who started on our show that way.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Popular pitch man known as Dennis Murphy.
That's right. Look at him now. Yeah. Look at him now. He owns Sioux City.
Hello, Don.
Have today's events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
See?
Hello.
He'll be sleeping in a warm bed tonight.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
How's it going?
Yeah, Dennis has got it totally together compared to Rob Grippy.
Absolutely, except when they make him work in the warehouse.
Hello?
Hey, speaking about Rob Grippy,
yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't seem quite so weird to you if you thought that instead of he's living in his car, he's just living in a really, really small mobile home.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so.
Look at it that way.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I was calling for Don and Mike, and I got cut off. My name's Curtis, calling from Germantown.
Yes, Curtis. Hello.
How are you?
Curtis?
Yes.
I don't hear you unless you knock.
Entree. Yeah, what can we do for you?
Yeah.
Well, what I wanted to tell you, I was coming home from work a couple days ago, and I was really depressed about something that happened during the day. And I was so depressed, I couldn't figure out anything to make me up again. And I said, hey, stupid, turn the radio on. And I automatically write to your guys' station. I had a blast that afternoon listening to you guys.
Well, thank you. Listen, what happened? What was happening that was so bad?
You were...
No. What was happening in your life?
In my life?
That had you down.
Oh. My mother had some heart problems, and she was in the hospital up in West Virginia.
I mean, you know, that is really, we say this all the time. When somebody calls with a call like this, that makes us feel better than any other calls we get. We really appreciate it.
No kidding.
Well, I couldn't have asked for a better way to get happy again.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that's what you guys are all about.
You are Mr. Happy.
Yeah, Mr. Happy.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's very nice.
Yeah. That's right. There's somebody who appreciates the balance of the two-girl show and Rob Grippy's car.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hold on a second.
Have today's events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
Hi, Jim. I'd just like to let you know that I never lived in my car, and that is an oogie feeling. Oh,
you never lived in your car.
Oogie.
All right. Thank you. Dennis, got to run.
Hey, Don.
What?
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, looking good, Don.
Thanks, Dennis.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Could you play golf today?
No, I did not.
He's trying desperately to connect with you, Mike.
No, I didn't. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Bye, Dennis.
You go?
No.
Goodbye.
Good New Orleans.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If you have a question, I know we can help you too. I want you to pick up the phone and give us a try. This call is free. Pick up the phone now. Tell them Sister sent you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now made funnier by the Infinity Lawyers. It's the Don and Mike Show.
I want to bring in a good friend of mine. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Patrick Bateman, everybody.
Stop the music for a second. I want to play it later. Do you like Huey Lewis? It's good to see you. How are you, Don? I get so angry when you get those callers that are calling in here. What I really like to do is perhaps chop their heads off and play with their blood.
Of course, Patrick Bateman, you love him as American Psycho.
American Psycho, yes. I live in New York. in the American Gardens building on the 81st Street on the 11th floor. My name is Patrick Bateman. I'm 27 years old.
Didn't you steal the name Paul Allen, though, for a while?
After I chopped him up, I did. You remember that scene, don't you?
I love it. You put on the clear raincoat.
I did. I enjoy that. I look good in that raincoat, too. I look good in just about everything I wear. Because I take care of myself.
How do you take care of yourself?
I believe in a balanced diet and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. I can do 1,000 now. After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion in the shower. In the shower, I also use a water-activated gel cleanser, then a honey almond body scrub, and on the face, an exfoliating gel scrub. Then I apply an Herb Mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol.
Why's that?
Because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older.
Of course it does.
Then moisturizer, then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by final moisturizing protective lotion. And now I'm set. That's why I take care of myself right now.
Are you related to Jason?
I noticed you're wearing earth tones.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Are you related to Jason Bateman?
No relation to Jason Bateman. He's an actor. I don't like actors. They make me angry.
What about Justine Bateman?
Not Justine Bateman. She'd be an actor, too. Now, I told you clearly. I explained myself clearly. I told you exactly what I was going to tell you, and then you didn't listen to me. That makes me so angry.
Let me know. I got Huey Lewis ready.
Shut off Huey Lewis. I'll tell you when to play that later.
I got Genesis for you, too.
Don, sit down for a second. Right over here.
You want me to sit down over there?
Sit down over where I have the newspapers laid out.
All right, I'll have a seat.
Do you like Huey Lewis?
Yeah, I do. I love him.
Their early work was a little too new wave for me, but when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor. In 87, Huey released this, Four. Their most accomplished album. I think the undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy. So catchy. Most people don't listen to the lyrics. But they should. Because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of friends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Don!
Yeah, Pat?
Ah!
Look out, Don! Look out!
You just cut my head open with an axe. There, look at the blood. Oh, man. That was exhilarating. Fantastic. Now we can talk.
Is that the scene where you take out a cigar and smoke it then?
Yeah. After I chop up Paul Allen, then I go to his apartment and I wrap him in a bag. A beautiful bag. A duffel bag. I put it in the back of a cab and I drive over to his place and I adopt his name as my own. It's one of my more accomplished murders. Almost as good as I would have felt if I'd really fed that kitty to the automatic teller machine. Do you like Huey Lewis? Donnie G.
You know who I like even better than Huey Lewis, though?
Who's that?
Genesis.
Ah, Genesis. Do you like Phil Collins? I've been a big Genesis fan ever since the release of their 1980 album, Duke. Before that, I really didn't understand any of their work. Too artsy, too intellectual. It was Duke where Phil Collins' presence became more apparent. I think Invisible Touch is the group's undisputed masterpiece. It's an epic meditation on intangibility. At the same time, it deepens and enriches the meaning of the preceding three albums. Christy, take off your robe. Listen to the brilliant ensemble playing of Banks, Collins, and Rutherford. You can practically hear every nuance of every instrument. Sabrina, remove your dress. In terms of lyrical craftsmanship and sheer songwriting, this album hits a new peak of professionalism. Into Deep is the most moving pop song of the 1980s. About monogamy and commitment. The song is extremely uplifting. The lyrics are as positive and affirmative as anything I've ever heard in rock. Christy, get down on your knees. Phil Collins' solo career seems to be more commercial, and therefore more satisfying in a narrower way. Especially songs like In the Air Tonight and Against All Odds. Sabrina, don't just stare at it. It's good to be here. How are you?
It's good to have you here, Pat.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for playing my favorite 80s songs. You really give me a big boost, if you know what I mean. Fantastic.
You're a right-thinking American.
Hey, I heard you talking to your general manager earlier.
Ken Stevens.
Pass along a message, will you?
Sure.
Tell him he's a tumbling weed. Thanks a lot. I'd really appreciate that. Donnie G., resident football guru. Don's fantasy team takes up much of his time, but what he doesn't know is that I'm poisoning his diet cherry coke. Don's defense won't beat my offense, and it's tough to pick a lineup with your fingers severed. I've thought about all of you. Thought about each and every one of you in great detail. I've got thoughts about each and every buddy, because it's not just the show. It's the individuals as a whole. Hey, Don!
Look out, Don. Got another axe in the head. What about Buzz? You thought about Buzz?
Buzz Burbank. My God, those disgusting outfits. And that smug, I-know-everything manner that really makes me want to stab him in the stomach and watch him squirm in his own fluids. Die now, Kansas man. Come on over here, Buzz.
Hey, no.
Put a too tight shirt and some of your hiking boots. Then I'll sever your feet and feed them to my kitty cat. That's right. You've got cats, too, don't you, Buzz?
Yes.
And they're all going to die. I'm really sorry. I kind of lost it there.
That's okay.
I don't know what got into me, Pat Bateman. What's the matter?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I thought you were Paul Allen.
Well, I adopt the personality of Paul Allen for some of my different murders, but it doesn't really matter. And I heard Charlie Broyhill stopped in the studio a little bit early.
Oh, our executive producer? Yeah.
Clap for the ape man. Oh, man. If he's curt with me again, I'll peel his face off and stuff it into one of his cheesy athletic bags. See if he can play flag football without your eyelids, Mongoloid. There you go, Charlie Broyhill. Fantastic. And this music really gets me energized. Makes me want to put on my raincoat, grab my stainless steel axe, and bury it into somebody's forehead. So it gives me a chance to talk up records. Man, this is fun.
Well, do you have thoughts on Mike O'Mara?
Mike O'Mara, yes, sirree. Silly, jolly alcohol. How'd you like to take the alcohol right now, Mike, and just get a whole big pot of it and dip your ass in it as I cut it open with a big blade? Yes, siree, fat boy, your days are number two. Because what I'm going to do to Mike O'Mara is something he's probably always wanted, to become a martyr, because martyrs have to die. And Mike O'Mara's going to die as soon as he turns around, looks me in the eye, and I take the giant axe to bury it into his forehead.
Oh, good. Now listen, what about, you want to put an axe in a guy's head. I mean, look at the target right here on this noggin of Rob A. Spiewak.
I've got no problem with Rob. We talked earlier. He's got some really interesting thoughts that I'd like to share later after the show. Can I see your business card for just a second, please?
I don't have. Well, sure, here you go.
Here's mine. Take a look. That's Bone. And the lettering is something called Cillian Braille. Do you like that? Let me take a look at your... That's your business card.
You like that?
That's pissing me off big time. Is that Pale Nimbus?
Yes.
Look at the subtle thickness. It even has a watermark. Damn! Fantastic. Was that your producer I saw in the hallway earlier?
Lisa Herndon?
Oh, Lisa Herndon, yes. I took a look at her. Yes, siree. Ooh, a pretty girl with an energetic attitude. That'll all change when I put her in my icebox. See if you like being one of the boys, Lisa. When your lips turn blue from lack of oxygen. That's right. You'll freeze. And then I'll take you out and put you on the table. And then I'll make little Lisas, tiny, and put them on hot dog buns. Oh, sorry, I kind of lost it there.
No, you're under control, Pat.
Something about the music that's really driving me nuts. I'm not sure, you know? People have called me a psycho, but I think they're wrong. Oh, does Lisa have any help back there?
Oh, well, yeah, Joe Ardinger.
Oh, Joe Ardinger.
You know, the guy who answers our telephones.
Joe Ardinger. Yeah, how long I wanted to rid the world of the slackers. Man, you know something? This is really starting to bother me. I might pay him a visit. Maybe I'll do it at night. And I'll say, it's wake-up time, Slow Joe. And I'm going to make sure you taste your last barbecue chicken when I pull your tongue out with a pair of pliers. That's what I'll do. That's right. I'll take one of his silly Tupperware containers, and I'll pull out of his tongue. And as he's breathing his last breath, he'll look at the plastic container and go, R-r-r-r. And I'll say, you can't talk or eat chicken now, can you, Slow Boy?
help myself. I just get so incredibly agitated. It's ridiculous. I try. I really do. Sabrina, get on all fours. Ah, Phil Collins. Consummate professionalism. It's wonderful right now. Christy, remove your dress. Sabrina, don't just stare at it. So, are we all going out to dinner later?
Sure.
How about a Spass or Dorsia? We could go there, and I know a great place that's had a fantastic red snapper with violets and pine nuts. It'll be delicious.
Yeah, didn't I see, though, in the movie that when you called one of these trendy Manhattan restaurants?
Sure.
What they really said to you on the phone was, you know, hey, we got no room after you.
Actually, what they really did to me, Don, was they laughed hysterically. As a matter of fact, when I asked for a Friday reservation at 8:30, all he did on the other end was laugh. But Paul Allen, he was able to get a reservation at Dorsia, and he bragged about it. He bragged about it to me. He bragged about the fact that he could get a Friday reservation at 8:30, and I couldn't. So I took him to lunch, got him incredibly drunk on martinis, brought him back to my own place, put some paper on the floor, put on a raincoat, and buried the stainless steel axe in his head. Because I was talking about Huey Lewis the whole time and talking about their incredible consummate professionalism. Yes, sirree. Tip to be square. Their undisputed master. And this is my undisputed axe, and I'm going to hit you in the forehead now.
This has been
very cathartic for me.
You are a great guy.
Yes, and as we've established, Ken Stevens is a tumbling weed. He seems to have a bit of difficulty communicating honestly.
Perhaps
it's a brain problem. You know what we need to do with that brain?
What?
We need to get it out into the open air where it can thrive. That's right. I could walk you through that, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Perhaps I'll come to dinner at the Stevens houses with all of you tonight, and I'll look and I'll say, hello, Don, hello, Frida, hello, Roz and Ken. Yes, siree. Douglas, go down to the babysitter, because this isn't going to be pretty right now. I'm going to walk up to Ken Stevens, who'll be standing in his kitchen drinking one of his imported beers. And I'll say, is that Heineken or Beck's? And because he's so slow, he'll stop to look at the label because he doesn't know what he's drinking. That's when I'll stab him in the heart with his own butcher knife. Thank you very much. Wow. That was very cathartic.
You are.
Oh, my.
You're a great guy.
Thanks so much, Don. And, Rob, who loves you? I have no gripes with him at all. He said some things to me that really made sense.
Made a lot of sense.
Hey, look, it's the ape boy.
Oh, it's Charles Broyle. You know, he's a giant fan of your movie, American Psycho.
Get ready to taste copper, knuckle dragger. I'll go to your flag football game. I'll see the whole team. It's tough to play flag football when you don't have any shins.
Well, Patrick, we're going to play Jeopardy now with the... First guy to call or girl to call, you know, our returning champion is Jason Block. He was the original big money winner on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, they're all tumbling squeeze.
We need a call at 877-365-3636 or 202-432-1067.
I'm too busy for this.
Okay, well, just chill for a moment.
Okay.
Chill for a moment.
No problem at all, Don. No problem at all. But I'll tell you, as I sit here, I'm just getting just a little angry.
Okay, well, we get angry. Do it.
No tiki, no shirty.
Maybe.
Get the stain out! Bitchy! Killy!
Maybe during the break you can go out and do that thing you did where you had that power drill right
sure.
against the girl's head and then you decided at the last minute not to put it through her head?
An error in judgment. We're all capable of that once in a while. Sometimes I just can't pull the trigger. But the next night I'll make up for it by killing even more. That's right. I'll go out anywhere, any night, any time, and I'll decide that this is the time to do it. This is the time to satisfy my bloodlust. This is the time for me to really feel like a 1 million-pound gorilla and kill everyone.
All right, our guest is Patrick Bateman.
Thank you.
And we need a call for Jeopardy right now.
I appreciate it. I really do.
Nice suit, Pat.
Do you like Phil Collins?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Did any of you guys see that the Quentin Tarantino film yet?
Yes, I did.
To Kill Bill?
Yes, I did.
Kill Bill?
Kill Bill.
Kill Bill. I thought that movie stunk, and I just wish Quentin Tarantino would just take his 16 minutes of fame and just go away. Just go away, Quentin Tarantino. Go away.
Calm yourself, sir.
Yes.
So what do you think of the movie?
I love Uma Thurman. No matter what she does, she's always good. But, I mean, as far as seeing Kill Bill is concerned, I'd rather watch Don Geronimo on a radiator and watch the
scene. Stop now. Stop. You can't say
But can I say
No, you can't say that either. What's wrong with you?
The Don and Mike Show.
Like a love toy for your ears. The Don and Mike Show.
How'd you spend the commercial break, Pat?
Well, now I'm thinking about Bryson Van Patten, who played that tape. It's very frustrating. I spent the majority of the time walking the hallways, talking to people. They all shook my hand. They tried to meet me. But they don't really meet me when they meet me. You understand why.
The one person I think that you should get to know, did you have a chance to meet our engineer, Wendell Hall?
I saw Wendell in the hallway. Is he somebody that I'd like to meet?
I think that he and you are on the same wavelength, even more than you and Rob Spiewak.
Well, even if you took me back to him, there's no way that he would really be meeting me.
Why?
Well, there's an idea of a Patrick Bateman, some kind of abstraction. But there is no real me, only an entity, something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there. You understand me?
Yeah, you know, I never figured out the end of that movie.
Wow. I'll tell you right now, though, I'd like to meet Wendell. Understand he's a big hunter and gun owner.
He is.
Perhaps we could go out into the country sometime and shoot some of his guns. He'd like that, wouldn't he?
What if he pissed you off, though?
If he pissed me off, I'd bring what I always bring.
My boombox with Huey Lewis on it. And I'd look at him and I'd say, Wendell, could I see that handgun that you're so anxious to practice? And then I'd turn it on him. And what would his face look like when I pulled the trigger and Wendell Hall was gone?
Thank you for that. Wow. Feel re-energized to start your fun little game here.
All right, Patrick Bateman, let's play low-budget Jeopardy.
This is low-budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our challenger. She's going to take on a very tough competitor. This lady is a lawyer. That's a bad start with me. She's from Potomac. Let's say hi to Melanie Dorsey.
Hi, Melanie.
Hello, LQ. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Melanie. Melanie, yes. Are you standing right now?
No, I will if you want me to.
Stand up, please.
All right.
Now sit back down.
Okay.
That's much better. Now entering the studio is our returning champion. His total winnings, they total $266. Money he's all going to give to the American Red Cross. We have it on good authority. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
But it still pisses me off that he's won so much. This guy's from Brooklyn, New York. He's a BT guy. I don't even know what that means. But I do know that we have to say hi to Jason Block.
Hello, Jason.
Hello, how are you doing? My last time here, thank you. It's been a great 5 weeks. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if Jason wins today, mm-hmm. we're not just going to have him on every week for the rest of the show. If he wins today, we're retiring.
Yeah, for Christ's sake, Jason, it's not the Miss America pageant.
And I'm trying to be nice.
Well, that's okay. I don't like nice, okay?
I know you don't like nice.
Now entering the studio as the host of Low Budget Jeopardy, I remind Jason and Melanie to please not screw with LQ.
Screw with LQ.
The consequences could be dire. And now, let's say hi to Alex Trebek-Geronimo.
Thank you, Pat. Hi again, Jason. Hi, Melanie.
Now,
Listen, first of all, just let me tell you something. Don't piss off Pat Bateman today.
I don't think that's possible. Because if they do, I'd do something that I wouldn't be responsible for. For example, if Melanie was looking at me the wrong way, I'd say, hey, Melanie, why don't you come over here for a second? And then slowly, I'd sneak up in back of her and I'd say, do you like Huey Lewis? This new album has a pure sheen of consummate professionalism. I think it's their best effort yet. And I think it's the best effort right now to lose our challenger. Not just the game, but a total loss of life. I'm sorry, Melanie. I got ahead of myself there.
Okay. All right, kids, here are your categories. Oh, I live with my mom wearing clip-on ties, suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex as we're playing the game. It's Oki Lord Quizmaster. And I always call him Pat Bateman.
Or Paul Allen.
Paul Allen.
Sure.
Here are your categories, kids. They are...
Nicely done, Don.
Jeff George, company man.
Company man, football player.
Name that new fall season TV show.
Television. I'm at Dorsia most nights.
Who sings that bad oldie but goodie?
Oldies, it's good. I hope it's from the 80s. If it's not, I'll be very upset.
New on DVD and home video.
DVD, American Psycho on DVD.
And States and Capitals.
States and Capitals, a learning experience, but I spend most of my time in Manhattan.
Here you go. It's Jeff George, company man.
You said that.
I'm repeating them, Pat.
God, I hate that.
The new fall season TV shows.
Jeez.
Who sings that bad oldie but goodie?
Oh, he's making
new on
me
DVD
angry.
Home video.
He's making me angrier as he's repeating that.
States and Capitals. Melanie, you're a girl. We like girls better than boys. We will start with you.
Oh, thank you. Could I get States and Capitals for one, please?
Oh, of course. What's wrong with that, Pat?
I'm not sure, but, you know, it's a slow burn right now, but go ahead. You know, do your category.
It is the capital of the great state of California.
Oh, what is Sacramento?
Right.
Wow.
Okay, Melanie, select again.
State and capitals for two, please.
Capital of Texas.
Capital of, what is Austin?
Austin, correct.
$2. She might have started the game properly. Jason may have met his match.
I hope so. This is going to be fun.
Sure it will. You know, I'm tired of both of you talking to me. As a matter of fact, I'm tired of the whole game. I'm tired of the whole existence. I'm tired of the fact that we're trying to be pleasant, but I really want to be unpleasant. And I want to take my stainless steel axe and do something bad now.
I'm sorry.
I'm terribly sorry. I won't let that happen again. I won't lose control.
Go again, Melanie.
State and capital for three, please, LQ.
It is the capital of North Carolina.
What is Raleigh?
Raleigh, that's right. And I believe that's never happened to our returning champion. He's had a category run on him.
How about that? What do you think of that, Jason?
Not bad. I enjoy the challenge.
It's wearing away your smooth veneer of invincibility.
You know, it's wearing away your smooth veneer of invincibility.
What did you say?
I said it's wearing away your smooth veneer of invincibility.
Jason, can I see your card for a second?
Here's my card.
Oh, man, that's nicer than mine. I don't think I can handle that. Jason, our returning champion, has a nicer card than I do. I'm going to take this power drill and put it right into the middle of his forehead. Sorry.
That really, really hurt. I think you're going to take an
apple. All right, knock it off, Jason.
All right, Melanie, go again, please.
Can I get Jeff George, I forgot, Company Man?
Company Man, right, team player, Jeff George.
Yes.
Just cut by the Washington Redskins.
Cut.
This NFL team originally drafted him with the number one overall pick.
What is the Atlanta Falcons?
No.
Such a girl.
All right, Jason, here's your chance to jump right back on the ship.
Again, football's my weakness. What is the New Orleans Saints?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Hey!
Hey, sorry, you gotta... Guy's got another football, the Indianapolis Colts.
And that means, Melanie, fortunately, you're still in control.
Could I have the same category for two, please?
He got in a televised screaming match with the coach of this team.
Who is Atlanta Falcons?
There you go. That's right. Good guess, honey.
Jason, your chance.
No, Dan Reeves. I know that.
Your chance to steal, Jason.
No, she got it right.
What he did.
No, she did.
She did.
She did.
Are you contradicting me?
No, she got it right.
So I give her $1?
You give her $2.
$2. I've lost my place. My brain's starting to hurt. I'm terribly sorry.
You give her... Here, let me play it. Maybe this will help you.
Do you like Phil Collins? Their 1980s album, Duke, really put the cherry on the sundae. I'll tell you that right now. I feel much more relaxed right now.
Isn't there something you'd like to tell Melanie to do?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let me look over there right now. Melanie?
Yes?
Don't just stare at it.
All right, I will.
So she has $2 added to her previous $6.
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Melanie. I'm terribly sorry, and I don't apologize often.
Well, thank you, Pat. Can I have the Jeff George category for three, please?
He played for this team before joining the Vikings and then the Redskins.
Who's Atlanta Falcons?
No, honey. No, the team in between Atlanta and those other teams.
Jason, your chance was steal.
What is the San Francisco 49ers?
No, I'm sorry.
Can I guess again?
No, you can't guess again.
Can't.
That's not the way the rules of the game work.
I'm a girl.
No, I know. Too bad. No, it's the Oakland Raiders.
That's what I was going to say.
The Raiders.
Fantastic. All right, Melanie, you're in control.
Gosh, this is hard now. But who sings oldies for one?
Right,
please?
They're all bad oldies. Who sings them?
Very good.
For one, Disco Duck.
Oh.
Oh.
Jason, your chance to steal.
Who is Rick Dees?
Rick Dees, yes.
$1, you're finally on the board, Jason. That means that you're going to go to the final round. You should be very happy about that. And would you like a bite of my red snapper with violets and pine nuts?
Hold on. Time out here.
There seems to be a malfunction on the phone.
Yeah, but I do. I just lost both of them.
Are they both gone?
Hold on. Let me see. Wait a minute. Hold on. Those are ringing, right?
Right.
These are not... you know what? See, the button was stuck.
Did we lose them?
We lost Pat. Don't be mad at
They're
me.
They're gone, Pat.
Could you play some more of the Genesis?
Yeah.
As I was mentioning before, ever since the release of their 1980 album, Duke, before that I really didn't like or understand any of their work. Too artsy, too intellectual. It was on Duke where Phil Collins' presence became more apparent. And the Invisible Touch is the group's undisputed masterpiece. It's an epic meditation on intangibility. Christy. Take off your robe.
Hey, look, look who's here. Lisa, don't you want to tell Lisa something?
Lisa, get on all fours. In terms of lyrical craftsmanship and sheer songwriting, this album hits a new peak of professionalism. In Too Deep, the most moving pop song of the 1980s about monogamy and commitment, the song is extremely uplifting. Now, Lisa, don't just stare at it.
All right, I got them both back online. Sorry, guys, that was my fault.
That's okay, no problem. No problem, Alex.
Okay. Thanks for playing the Phil Collins, though. It really gave me a big boost.
where are we going here? Oh yeah, the bad songs.
Right.
Jason's in control for two.
For two. Mambo number five.
Who is Lou Bega, B-E-G-A?
Right, yes, Lou Bega, right.
$2 for you. You're really blazing a trail now, Jason.
And who sings that bad oldie for three?
Seasons in the Sun.
Ooh.
Ah.
Melanie, your chance to steal.
Who is Pat Bateman?
Thanks for the credit. I didn't write it, though.
Terry Jacks.
Terry Jacks, absolutely. Jack reminds me of Jackhammer. Like the jackhammer I used one time to bury several bodies when I went on one of my killing sprees at night. What a great time I'd have going down into my basement. I'd dig up all the concrete, and then I'd get down to the dirt level. I'd take one of my stainless steel shovels, I'd dig a giant hole, pour the two bodies in, refill it with new concrete, and I'd take a walk back upstairs. There we go. Hey, Paul, how does this feel? Wow, this is great. Look at that hole. I wonder if they'll ever catch me. Of course, it's difficult to do that living on the 11th floor of an 81st Street apartment.
Go again, please.
Name that new fall TV show for one, please.
All right, beautiful. For one, on UPN, the new Star Trek TV show.
What is Enterprise?
Right.
$1 for you, Jason.
Name that new TV show for two, please.
On the WB about Teenage Superman.
What is Smallville?
Right.
$2. You're catching up quick.
And name that new TV show for three.
On CBS, stars Richard Dreyfuss.
What is the education of Max Bickford?
Who the hell knew he was going to know that?
$3, and with that, Jason Black has taken the lead, which is customary on this show.
And let's finish off with new on DVD home video.
All right, here you go. Out new this week, stars Brendan Fraser.
Ooh.
Oh. Melanie, your chance to steal.
I can't remember.
Oh, dear.
The Mummy Returns.
Yeah,
the Mummy.
Second too late. New on DVD for two, please.
Stars Morgan Freeman.
What is Along Came a Spider?
Right.
$2 for you, Jason. Select again.
And the last one on the board, please.
Stars Steven Seagal.
Oh, what is Exit Wounds appropriate for this?
Yes, Exit Wounds.
Steven Seagal. A big fat load, if you ask me. That's just one man's opinion. But congratulations on a finely played comeback there, Jason.
Now, listen, what would the you know, have you noticed this? That there are less commercial breaks in the show
That's
now?
Great.
So we don't have to break now. We're going to, Jason, we're going to go right to Melanie, right to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Pat Bateman.
Pat Bateman, you call me Patrick, please.
Patrick Bateman.
Thanks, I'm an entity.
Paul Allen.
That's right.
Where we physically force you both to bend at all.
And although you might feel flesh pressing against yours when we shake hands, I'm simply not there.
Here's your category, and it is Izomania.
Oh, yes.
Izomania. It's the title of this week's number one chart-topping album in America by my man, Jay-Z. A cage to the Izzo. It is the title of this week's number one chart-topping album in America by Jay-Z. Kids, give it to us in the form of a question and a good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive something special, something I've handpicked, something just for you. It's a genuine Patrick Bateman clear raincoat. With this raincoat, you can cut your own steaks, clean fish, paint your own ceiling, or chop up Paul Allen with a stainless steel axe. My clear raincoat has a tailored, sophisticated look that really looks good on just about anybody. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you. Pat, give me. Patrick.
Patrick, I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right, Patrick Bateman, let's go to...
Those are nice slacks. Armani?
These no, Eddie Bauer.
Oh, that's okay, too.
Let's go to Melanie first.
Melanie, that's right. Melanie comes to us from far away.
Melanie, it's the number one album this week by my man, Jay-Z.
Yes, and I didn't know it, so I said, what is Patrick Bateman's greatest hit?
Oh, thank you, Melanie. I think we could have a good time. Perhaps sometimes you can come back to the Patrick Bateman apartment and I could bring someone else in. Do you like to share?
Sure.
Atta girl.
And you could tell her.
I should get on all fours.
And then what would you say?
Well, I'd speak to Sabrina and say, Sabrina, don't just stare at it. I thought you'd like that, Don.
Hey, Jason.
Yes.
All right, here you go. You chance to be an undefeated champion if you got the right answer.
I know I do. What is the blueprint?
The blueprint? Yeah.
That means you double your score. You are still undefeated, and you finish undefeated, Jason Block.
Thank you very much.
That's incredible.
We've never had a champion-type games. And frankly, we've never had anybody who's won as much as this guy. Jason?
Yes?
Patrick Bateman will tell you about the money that you've won, which is all I understand. You're still going to give it to the Red Cross?
Absolutely. They need it a lot more than I do.
Beautiful. All of it goes to the Red Cross. And Melanie, don't go mad. Don't go away mad. Just go away. You will both get these party gifts. Here now is Patrick Bateman.
Jason, you double your score to $28. We throw in a $25 bonus, bringing your total to $53. Added to your previous winnings, the Red Cross will receive $319 from you, Jason Block.
Thank you very, very much.
And I think you're to be really congratulated for that. And now we've got prizes for our loser, Melanie. Are you ready, Melanie?
I am, and I'd like to match, Jason.
Fantastic. Melanie, while I'm reading your prizes, sit on the floor Indian style.
I already am.
Thank you. You have won a Band of Brothers prize pack. If you've missed Band of Brothers, HBO will broadcast a special encore presentation for some of you that are too slow to catch it the first night it comes out. Episodes will run back to back. That begins Monday night at 8 p.m. But wait, there's more! You've won a Come Together concert prize pack courtesy of Capitol Records. TNT presents Come Together, a night for John Lennon's words and music. John Lennon's words and music were not part of my life in the 80s. I seem to lose touch with him because his major hits fell earlier than that. Dedicated to New York City and its people. Live from Radio City Music Hall this Tuesday at 8 p.m. on TNT. Fantastic. I'll watch it with friends. And then after we're done, I'll poison their food. And I'll eat their dogs. And make them watch as I tie them up with duct tape. Thank you for playing the game, Melanie.
Thank you.
Well, Jason, you're a great champion.
And thank you again, and I hope the Red Cross just enjoys that. That's going to be a really good thing.
That's very nice of you. Melanie, thank you for listening, honey.
Oh, thank you.
Do appreciate it, and have a great weekend, both of you. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what can I say, but Patrick Bateman, has been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure meeting you. It's been a pleasure. Being here with you, and I have to tell you one last thing.
Yes.
Last night I was listening to Huey Lewis with a good friend of yours, and I believe a co-worker.
Who's that?
His name was Jeremy Coleman. As a matter of fact, I went over to his house with a staple gun, and as he sat down to watch a Huey Lewis video, I brought out the staple gun, and he was enjoying himself. And I said, hey, Jeremy, do you like Huey Lewis? Their early work wasn't my cup of tea, but I sure think they scored with the album 4. And their undisputed masterpieces hit to be square. And Jeremy Coleman, you better watch out, because I'm going to take this staple gun, and I'm going to staple the back of your head right now.
It's been great having you on the show.
Great being here, Don. You take care of yourself.
Always remember, never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Now I'm going to tell all the women in your building to get on all fours. Toodaloo.
Wow. Don't just look at it.
Don't just stare at it.
Don't just stare at it.
While the Phil Collins is on.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
One thing somebody said to me last night, that, thank goodness, in my valium-induced haze, I was able to remember. One of the people who works there was sitting down and talking to me right after the procedure had been done, when they were waiting to make sure that I was okay to go, and she said, do you think ugly people know they're ugly? And I said, pardon me? And she said, it's just a rhetorical question.
Is this a hottie that's saying that?
Yeah, yeah, of course. You know, it's not like a beast would sit down and say this. She said, do you think ugly people know that they're ugly? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I'd like to talk about that on the radio. I said, what do you think? And she said, no. I think most ugly people think they're beautiful. And I wish I could tell
you... I disagree.
I wish I could tell you more about this conversation I had, but unfortunately at this point, you know, my wife has grabbed me by the hand and virtually walking me to the elevator and getting me in the car.
I think all people are aware of how they look. I think everybody's aware of that. I mean, I think that there are...
I don't know.
You know why? Let me tell you why. Because there are certain universal standards, especially in our culture, where we have the ideal man and the ideal woman.
Yes,
they're always in the media. They're always in magazines.
But even having said that...
Right.
I mean, without naming names... Can you think of anybody who works here who you consider to be ugly?
Really horribly ugly?
No, just not horribly ugly. Not like disfigured. Not like Mask, that movie with Cher.
Ugly?
But ugly.
Ugly to me is somebody who's just not pleasant to look at.
Right.
That's so unpleasant to look at.
I can think of someone who works here who I'd consider to be ugly. And I bet if you were to ask that person would not think they were ugly.
I'm trying to think. And I'm being really serious here. If there's anybody here that I think is genuinely ugly.
Okay. I just wrote it down for Mike.
You're just making me laugh.
I mean that.
No.
Ugly. Oh, come on.
I don't.
The demeanor has a lot to do with how a person is perceived by other people. I mean, it's more than just...
Oh, you mean ugly?
Physical beauty.
The whole thing.
If you see someone who's always frowning...
You know what I'm doing?
And this person is not beautiful either.
I'm going back through all the jobs I've had. I'm going back to find... And I'm finding a guy that used to work for me when I was a program director.
Right.
And he was ugly, and I don't think he thought he was ugly. And I mean ugly. Big, fat, ugly. And let me tell you something right now. That's an interesting question, because now that I think about him, I don't think he thought of himself as such.
That's what this lady was trying to...
You're talking about really ugly people. Are there people that have it in perspective? Like, I count you, I count me as people. We're not fashion models, and we don't have any misconceptions about the way we look. We both are very self-aware.
But I don't think we would be categorized as ugly. People can say whatever they want about us. You know,
we're
not the best-looking guys, but we're not... ugly. I'm
not
talking about
ugly.
Somebody really ugly. Rob, come here. Do you think you're ugly?
I could do better. I mean, but I'm not ugly.
No, I don't think Rob's ugly.
No, I was just using him as an example.
I don't think Rob is remotely ugly compared to some of the... But I actually have to go back to find somebody really that's just like... Ugly to me, this is how I define ugly. Ugly is you walk into a room and you see somebody and you want to turn away. There's another guy I worked with years ago. There's a guy that had the worst teeth... I've ever seen, and he used to eat eggs, and we had breakfast meetings, and I would sit across from him, and I had to turn away. That's ugly. That's somebody. Oh, thank you. It just jogged my mind a little bit there. I'm going to write down.
I'm going to write his name.
I'm going to write down a name for you.
Okay. All right.
And it will prove the theory once again that ugly people don't really.
While he does this, I'd like you to consider one thing. Remember, Joe Rockhead, Mike E. Rockhead, rather, thought he was the best-looking guy on the show.
There's example 1A, gentlemen.
Okay, there's someone who works here. Show it to Rob.
Yeah.
That person is ugly.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Hasn't a clue, though.
Let's use that person as the example.
Then the example
is... If you were to ask that person, are you ugly?
Right.
And that's someone who works here? That person would say no.
No way. Probably. Absolutely not.
Does not consider him or herself to be ugly.
So I think the answer to the question would be ugly people don't consider them. Because if they did... Then they wouldn't be able to go on. They wouldn't be able to live with themselves.
Right. You know what? I bet if we stop, what, Robbie?
They'd truly let themselves go if they gave up hope.
That is true. I think there are some
people.
Maybe
they're fighting.
If you're talking, when you're saying let go, you're talking about weight. And I think some people get to a point with their obesity where they
just
completely
weight,
let them
go. No, it's not weight. There's
not
some people
weight.
Are just born ugly, man.
Right. That's
like
true.
They don't, they might not, you know.
I mean, the person whose name you just wrote, that is a person who's not fat, has...
Okay,
good high. I'm not going to mention that. Has good hygiene.
Yes,
great hygiene.
As far as
absolutely.
We can tell.
Great hygiene.
But would be considered ugly.
And I think that's somebody that where that falls into the category of kind of like, and I'll tell you right now, and you know, this person will go nameless, as everybody will that we're talking about. I will tell you this, that the bulk of us, the vast majority of citizenry, we fall into that great... that great abyss
in the middle, right?
Between
right.
the really beautiful people and the really ugly people, and
true.
You know, and I think those people, the majority of people, they're more self-aware.
I'm just talking about just the uglies out there. Do ugly people know that they're ugly?
However, you know, there's nothing worse than a guy that's not that good looking that thinks he's good looking.
Yeah, and listen, we're loaded with guys like that around here.
Absolutely.
We wanted to come up with a list of guys around here who think they're good looking and really are not good looking.
Right.
You know, that list.
Absolutely.
We could do. Just like that, lickety split.
We've had that discussion before about people around here. It's truly the vast majority of people that have different perspectives on what they look like. And I think it's always better if you err on the side of being ugly.
And I don't know why this lady said this to me last night, but it stuck with me. I got home and wrote a post-it note.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I remembered last night, that a lady who works there said to me, mm-hmm. Do you think ugly people know that they're ugly?
How weird is that?
She was, and I think it was in the context she was asking me about people who come down and play the games on the show. She said, are all the women who come down and get naked, are they beautiful?
And she was hitting on you.
And I said, well, no, my wife was sitting right next to me.
Oh, okay, all right.
I said, no, frankly, some of the women who come down are, borderline. Yeah. But if they are willing to come down and take their clothes off, they're welcome to be on the show. Maybe that's how she did it. Well, do ugly people know that they're ugly? And, of course, the woman that was asking me this was like a model.
I will tell you right now, we've had lots of women that come down here, lots of guys that will take their clothes off, that I think that they are, in many cases, sometimes they think that they're better looking than they are. Mm-hmm. That's why they take their clothes off. I think there are also women that think they're ugly that have been in this studio naked that are stone cold knockouts. And they don't even know it.
I think most beautiful people know that they're beautiful, with some exceptions.
You know, I think most do. I heard a supermodel being interviewed who was mm-hmm. saying she has never, ever thought of herself as beautiful. And I think that it's probably, I would never.
You know who I bet thinks he's beautiful?
Who?
It's Tim McWilliams.
Yes.
I bet Tim McWilliams thinks
he thinks he's
strikingly handsome.
He thinks he's a stud. He thinks he's brilliant.
You know who else? I'm just looking at the list of employees now, people mm-hmm. we've had on the show. I bet Steve Johnson thinks he's a good-looking guy.
Absolutely.
Oh, and did you see the violently insane Jeff Schwinsky, who was back in the building today?
Yeah. No!
Yeah, yes. He was walking around earlier. I bet he thinks he's a good-looking guy.
Of course he does.
Nothing could be farther.
What's he doing back here?
Let me see. What about Andy? Do you think Andy thinks he's good-looking?
Andy Rice?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Charles Broyhill?
I would be fascinated to get to Charles Broyhill to give us an opinion of what he thinks he looks like.
Bring him in, Robbie.
Real honest opinion.
Yeah. If he thinks he's good looking or not.
Because questions like this kill him. it requires him to turn the spotlight on himself.
He'll have to drop his Peter Pan persona for a moment.
Absolutely.
To come down here and tell us if he thinks, he's not around?
Oh,
of course he's not around. Hello, Laura. Hi, Laura. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling about, radio in Rwanda, like all that hate radio. Do you think it had anything to do... Well, they say that's what caused the violence in Rwanda.
Honey.
What the hell are you talking about? 5 years ago.
I'm talking about ugly people.
What?
Hello, Charles.
Speaking of...
Do you think you're ugly?
Dorky.
Or do you
I would say dorky.
Dorky.
Yes.
You think of yourself as dorky.
Yes.
I would agree.
I
would agree. Thank you. A nice, honest answer.
I wouldn't agree. I think he's gorgeous.
Oh, we have an ugly girl on the line. All right, here's Claire. Says she is ugly.
Yes, I am.
Really?
And I would like to tell you, I can't speak for men, but ugly women, we know from the time we're born that we're ugly because people don't say, oh, what a cute baby. They make you very aware of that.
Well, how do you even know when you're a baby? You don't remember what people say
and you don't.
You know how people treat you.
No, not from being
effect.
A baby. It's not
does.
Like you can hear people not saying,
the reaction that other people have toward you.
What do you mean? You're lying in the nursery and the baby next door is getting all these accolades and you're just sitting there going,
but you're ugly.
I was born with a deformed face. And
okay, all right. Well, listen, now hold on. See, that's a different area. That's like you should be on the Maury Povich show.
No, though. I'm not that deformed. Just deformed enough to be ugly.
Oh, well, that's full.
You don't qualify for this survey.
Yes, I do. Telling you that people tell you, you can see people praising other little children, and they don't say anything to you. They avoid you.
Are you married?
I was married.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She's okay.
She depressed the hell out of me.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wow.
Don.
Yeah, hi.
Jeff from Pensacola. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, buddy.
You know, one of this conversation about whether or not people think they're ugly, I think the truth of it is have you ever met parents of ugly kids that just think their kids are the most beautiful thing in the world?
Yes, but there's a theory about ugly kids, and especially ugly kids on television. They're generally kids on television who are ugly grow up to be beautiful, and kids who are really cute on TV grow up just to be monster looking.
Mm-hmm. The ugly duckling.
So I don't know if that's true among regular people.
I hope not, because I think my kids as babies are really cute kids, and they're still very cute kids. And I remember that theory. You said, what was the show where it was a boy? It was a blonde haired boy.
I think it was Family Ties. Maybe was it the little boy? Robbie, what was the show where there was a kid
and he just turned into
he was a
Mad cute, Magazine character,
cute precocious little kid. Who was the little brother? Was it Family Ties?
Family Ties or had was Brian Bonsall, who was the little brother?
Now what was the one with Alan Thicke?
Oh, stay cool.
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains, yes.
The littlest boy on Growing Pains, who was a cute little kid.
He played Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yes, but as he grew up, he became more hideous as the days went on.
Now, here's a question. Can you determine the difference between cute and good-looking?
Yes,
absolutely. I think cute is a liability when you grow. But a good-looking kid will remain good-looking, but cute becomes a detriment.
You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Let's just keep this to adults, though.
Yeah.
I like to talk about ugly adults.
Yeah, but they start as kids.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Oh, all right, let's try this one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Body.
I'm having to do this manually because the computers are down.
Hey, shocker.
Hello.
Man.
Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Hey, you know, ever since the military moved me down to Panama City, Florida, I only get you guys like 5 minutes a day, and I miss my rides home in D.C. You guys were the best thing that I had to keep me going through the day.
Yeah, but what's the temperature down there?
81.
Right, okay, gotcha.
Bye.
We're ready for that around here.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. So, you know, excuse me, but the beginning of May, end of April, isn't it supposed to be seriously around, say we're in Virginia, technically, right. We're in the state of it. Isn't it supposed to be like 80 now?
I think it's supposed to be at least 70,
yeah,
really.
Right. I mean, it's been like 40 degrees here for 2 weeks.
Wow. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you guys rock.
Right.
I want to talk about that ugly survey thing you're doing right now.
Yes, are you ugly?
I don't know. What do you classify as ugly? Maybe we could...
No, you can't do it that way. That's subjective.
Just look at yourself in the mirror. Just tell me, are you ugly or not?
I don't think I am.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I'm beautiful in person, but I'm terribly non-photogenic, and that's a big thing to think about.
I want to tell you something, based just on this guy's voice, this guy sounds ugly to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm terribly ugly.
You ever heard the expression, the camera does not lie, sir?
No, the camera does lie.
No, you see, non-photogenic...
Means ugly.
Yeah, that word photogenic, that was invented for people that feel, shamed by the camera.
Oh, well, I'm shamed by the camera. You guys look great on King and Queens, or King and Queens, as the fellow the other day said.
You know, people can say about a supermodel, the camera loves her.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. But ugly people would say, I'm just not photogenic.
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say I was ugly.
I was just going to say I agree with you.
Big time.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, that's good. You're secure with that.
Yeah.
How ugly are you?
I'm real. I got pimples all over my face.
So very ugly.
Very ugly.
Very ugly. But you know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
All right. Clearasil face wash. Try that.
Could change everything.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
What's up, my brothers?
Are you ugly?
Oh, no. Never. Used to be.
This guy's
ugly. I grew up to be handsome.
No, see, this guy, a lot of times guys who have too much self-confidence, they're masking the fact that they're really very, very hideously ugly.
You know, I had a guy that did some business with me, insurance business, and he would call me handsome.
Oh, that's
and
spooky.
I'm in the process of like doing insurance with somebody else now with a friend of mine that does it.
Good.
because of that single reason.
Maybe he wanted in your pants.
Now he was straight as straight could be, but it was his way of being
his
like,
way of putting you down.
Hey, how you doing? No, just going. Hey, how you doing, handsome? You know, it's like his natural way of what he would how he would address guys.
Yeah, smack him.
It made my flesh crawl.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you, handsome? Okay, to you.
Hello, Don. My show.
Yeah, I knew when I was ugly. My mom told me I was such an attractive guy that I could get any girl.
But you are ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you. You know, this is answering the question, do ugly people know that they're ugly? Yes, they do.
That's true.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, check this out. As far as the whole ugly thing is concerned, when I was in high school, I was... No woman will holler at me. But now, I'm a model, and my wife's a model. So I really don't know what to tell you about you guys' theory on ugly, because it just...
You're a model?
You're ugly. What's that?
What do you model? Retainers?
No, I do catalogs.
You do catalogs? What catalogs have you been in?
I've been in the Sears catalog when I used to work in Illinois.
Sears catalog's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Are you an underwear model?
Oh, no. I ain't got a nice body or anything. I'm just a decent, average-sized guy, you know what I'm saying?
You're an average-sized guy, and you got a pretty face?
It's decent. It's nothing like...
It's clean.
What's that?
All right, so you do not consider yourself ugly.
No, I don't, but at a time, everyone I knew did.
All right, thank you. Maybe they were right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Stay in those catalogs. For God's sakes, don't let them give you any speaking parts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, buddy.
Good friend of mine had the same experience as that other gentleman. When he was young, he was overweight, and he flowered a little bit, and now he's a pretty good-looking guy, and he is completely aware of what he was like when he was younger and how That's people looked at him.
All right.
He flowered.
Thank you.
That's not good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
I want to help you prove your point about ugly kids.
Oh. That's more dangerous than Blossom.
Hold on. I got another one for you. I'm going to write down another name.
Very good. Yeah, because they come to mind, don't they?
Okay.
Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Buzz?
Yes.
Robbie? Are we agreed?
Oh, yeah.
That is an ugly person.
We have our third person at the station.
If you were to ask this person, if this person considers himself ugly, I bet you'd get a no.
You'd get a no.
No.
Right. All three of those, you'd get a no.
Right.
Which I think backs up the theory that ugly people don't know they're ugly.
Except the people calling our show.
Absolutely. They're very secure with their ugliness.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I want to help you prove your point about ugly kids that grow up and are hideous.
Yeah, right. Who?
Soleil Moon Frye. Isn't that her name? Punky Brewster?
Well, I don't know if she's ugly now.
Didn't she go into hottie territory for a while?
She had gigantic jugs, right?
Beautiful breasts.
She's a little kid, just a hideous grown-up.
No, she is hot, and she had breast reduction. That's the last reason
she was
in
Yeah, I think Punky Brewster grew up hot.
She is a piece to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
And remember Leif Garrett? Hey, what a little stud when he was younger. Look at the guy now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true, with his bandana. running over his friends when he was drunk.
I think young guys that have those girlish good looks, they inevitably turn into to ugly men.
That's still the best behind the music effort, the Leif Garrett one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to let you know, I've been ugly all my life, and I'm 24 years old. I've never been on a date. I've never talked to a woman more than like 5 minutes. I'm always alone, all by myself. No one will come near me.
All right, so you are ugly, and you know it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I have a theory about looks and men. When you've got a guy that's a movie star or a TV star that's got those girlish looks, like I'll give Tom Cruise as an example. I think Tom Cruise has those kind of pretty girly features. And Tom Cruise, you know, they say men age better than women do. I think when you have those girly features like Tom Cruise, as you age, you hit the wall more than a guy like, say, a Paul Newman, who has kind of the rugged good looks, you know what I mean? Do I sound gay?
Yeah, well, you are reading my mind.
I'll tell you what. Because I was watching...
Maybe you'd like to cook something for us now.
I was watching that movie with Harrison Ford.
Right.
And Harrison Ford, what's he, like 60 now or something like that? But, I mean, he's got this face that looks like a skillet full of mashed potatoes.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You know, I'm surprised that we've not had any women besides the one woman who said she was disfigured calling us saying that they're ugly. We just have guys calling saying they're ugly.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
That's right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I know how you can determine how ugly somebody is.
Are you ugly? Are you ugly?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, you can find out how many sexual partners they've had.
I'm just thinking about what I just said. I think I might be about 10% gay. I'm really worried about that.
Don't worry.
Very, very concerned.
A little more than that, I think.
You know, after between yesterday and today, I just, you know, I got done with that, and I just stopped, and I thought about it, and I'm, hey, c'est la vie.
And I don't think that you can judge the ugliness of a person by how many people they banged.
No.
No.
Absolutely
I
not.
I mean, a pig can lay down just as easy as a supermodel can.
I think that it can affect your looks if you bang too many people. Mm-hmm. I think some of your finer pornography stars have proven that, you know, when they hit the wall because they've just been way too much doing it.
But well, listen, how many people have you been with, honey? You.
Yeah.
How many men have you been with?
Do I really have to say?
Yes.
Nine.
Yeah.
Rob.
This little girl had knockers.
She was a whore.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing worse than an aging porn star. An aging female porn star is a cack.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm ugly.
You're ugly?
I got a huge Charlie Brown-like head, and I can never get a good haircut, so my hair is always looking screwed up.
You know, listen, my question has been answered.
Charlie Brown-like head.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question has officially been answered. Yes. Ugly people do know that they're ugly.
Do know they're ugly. You know, we appreciate the ugly people that have been calling in and saying that they're ugly.
You know what, though, next week we have to do a man on the street segment.
Very good.
We really have to send Rob or Toya or Nympho Lisa or Bloody Beth, somebody out on the street with a tape recorder.
It's a good idea.
To find ugly people.
Right.
To find them and walk up to them and say...
Or walk up to every person they see and ask them, do you think you're ugly?
do think you're beautiful. I'd rather ask ugly people if they think they're beautiful.
Well, if you ask that question, though, you're going to get, of course I think I'm beautiful. I think everyone's beautiful in their own way. You know how many people, especially in this
town?
Yeah,
all right, well, but you know, we should just ask ugly people, though.
Okay.
Just uglies.
It should be a two-pronged question. It should start with, do you think ugly people know they're ugly? Then, do you think you're ugly?
Beautiful. That's the format.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, here's an ugly girl. Hello?
Hey, yeah. I know I'm ugly. I've been ugly all my life. You know, ugly people definitely know that they're ugly.
Is this Cheryl the Big Dyke?
No.
You sound exactly like Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Not that she's ugly. She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Absolutely. She is all woman and all beautiful.
No. Definitely not.
How ugly are you?
I think I'm pretty ugly.
Are you big and sloppy fat?
Not really.
Okay.
Not
really?
Nah.
Just ugly. Was your face all munched up or something?
No, I'm just not attractive.
Well, I mean,
you
that's...
know, thin hair, just not attractive.
Thin, like, stringy hair?
Yeah.
All right, but listen, there's a fine line...
Beetlejuice.
There's a fine line between not attractive and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm ugly.
Do you have a fella?
Oh, yeah. I've been married for almost 20 years.
You've got your life partner.
Well, there's a lucky guy.
Yeah.
For 20 years, you've been married to an ugly woman.
Do you, have you
he's
given...
He's not exactly, Richard Gere and so.
Have you given up, or do you try to make yourself look pretty? Because you know we see people every day where it's just obvious that a long time ago...
Yeah.
Any
just
effort
gave up.
Was just thrown out the window.
Yeah, well, I think I'm about to that point. Just you know,
And your husband is ugly, too.
Hey, he's not, you know, like I said.
Do you have children? Are they ugly?
No, my kids aren't exactly, no, I wouldn't call them ugly.
You know, you can see in some of the lesser department stores, your Kmarts and Walmarts, you can see women who a long time ago packed it in. I mean, and
you know what?
Really just, you get it's the sweatsuit, it's the complete sweatsuit.
That gives me the idea. That's exactly where we should do the survey next
Walmart.
Week. Go to a Walmart parking lot and just interview the women as they are coming out. And
men.
Yes, women and men.
Absolutely.
And just ask all the ugly ones, mm-hmm. You know, do you think that ugly people know they're ugly?
Absolutely.
And we can get a description of what each person looks like before their interview.
And I don't know whether this is some sort of personality disorder on my part, but when I see a woman who really has just, you know, just a long time ago, it angers me a little bit. Because even if somebody is hideous, if they just made a little effort, they could just raise the bar a little bit more for themselves. But there are women that it's, oh my God. You know, you've seen them. You know who I'm talking about.
Are you kidding?
It's usually the hair that it's just, where you have the man's haircut. You know, the man's, we're mm-hmm. You know.
I'm going back to someone who works here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a theory about ugly people. When I first met my wife, I thought she was good looking, but she wasn't the best looking person. But then when I met her friend was just ugly.
Yes.
So I think that if you're a fairly good looking person, it's good to keep ugly friends.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
Yes, that's great. That's
absolutely.
A great idea. Right.
I think it makes yourself look a lot better looking.
I never did that.
That's why Mike and I always go out with Rob.
The worst part is now that they're no longer friends. You?
What, Robbie?
Why I go out with you.
Oh.
Touché.
Oh. I would seriously, when I was in my social circle, when I was growing up, when I was single, I would always usually hang around with guys that were better looking than me. And I always thought that was a big mistake. And, you know, many times I would feel sad about that because, you know, they would end up doing much, much better than I would. I was always bummed out about
generally,
that.
Generally, my friends were always...
Uglier?
No, average, just like
average,
me.
Average, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Nobody really good looking, nobody like stop a car ugly, just a bunch of, you know... Medium range slobs.
And when I got to college, I finally found the medium range slobs that I hung around with, and then I was much more
accepted. In your element.
Back in high school, you know, I would always hang around with the good looking kids, mm-hmm. You know, the pretty people, you know, and as I told you, the proms, I'd get the good dates at the prom, but it would
never get anything.
Nah,
awful.
Nothing would happen because like, oh, he's so funny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, last call. We have to do a break. Hello.
Yeah, how we doing?
Fine.
Yeah, I live down in Virginia Beach, so I don't even get you guys on the radio down there. I just happen to be driving up around the D.C. area.
Listen, why do we need this biography, sir?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to get you to get somebody down to Virginia Beach area to get you on the air.
Okay, well, that's all we have to do is just snap our fingers to get on to Virginia Beach.
Okay. Well, I was, you know, you're talking about your ugly people and stuff like that, and, you know, they say, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, because, I mean, I've known some people growing up, and some women who are just...
I mean, just butt ugly. I mean, you know, there's just no hope for them. Yeah. But they got married. And the
right.
husbands are the, I mean, guys who are married to ugly women are the most jealous guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever noticed that.
Now, you know what I notice a lot of times, especially when we go to Ocean City in the summer, that you see generally the biggest, piggiest, fattest, sloppiest, pimpiliest, just boil-infested women.
With a guy that looks like a Pez dispenser.
Yes.
Right.
Very skinny guys mm-hmm. with gigantic, fat, obese women.
That's everywhere.
And they're wearing the smallest bathing suit.
Yes, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, didn't
right.
you say, was it you that said at one time you saw that, or some skinny woman with a big fat guy that was squeezing the zits on his back?
Yes, I did. Oh. At Ocean City, right.
Oh.
In a big hairy back, and she was just squeezing his zits.
All right,
hold on. We got to do a break. We got to, for goodness sake, we have to stick to a schedule today.
That lady should have come in, that laser lady. You should have come in to continue that discussion.
And she was hot.
Yeah, wearing white outfits? The white.
No, they were wearing their casuals.
Oh, the casuals.
Yeah, casual clothing.
Oh, okay, all right.
She's wearing a purple dress, as I recall.
Oh.
Purple dress.
Very nice.
Smell real good.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hydro National standards are higher than any government standards. They're almost as high as mine.
My goodness, you can find, in fact, Hydro National.
Wait, what are you laughing at? Time, take two. You can find, say it with authority, you can find Hydro National hot dogs at Walbaum's Market. Stock up now for barbecues and cookouts at Walbaum's. You will do it.
The Don and Mike Show. Hypnolarious. The Don and Mike Show.
I did want to share this with you. There's this guy I know, Chuck Knapp.
Chuck Knapp, right. We've never spoken of him on the show.
No, but he's a good guy. He's a guy who worked at WLS in Chicago when I worked there. You know, I do have a soft spot in my heart, although I hate most modern radio people.
Yes.
I like all these guys who I knew when I was climbing the ladder, all the guys that were nice to me, all the big-time disc jockeys. Mm-hmm. And I would put this guy, Chuck Knapp, in the same category as... What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because I was wondering if you got a chance to see the news, Channel 4 News.
Oh, yes,
you
George.
Were talking about old disc jockeys.
Yes.
That old 70s picture.
With his Prince Valiant haircut.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I saw it last night.
803, Monday in New York at WABC, and Billy Martin is officially back as manager of the Yankees. I told you that would happen Saturday night. Yes, I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
Yeah, here in D.C., during the sweeps, Channel 4 is now so desperate.
Yep.
The news guy...
They interviewed Arch Campbell, who is the feature reporter for Channel 4, interviewed George Michael about music in the 70s.
Who used to be a disc jockey about Top 40 radio.
That's right.
And they had this awful tape of George Michael with the worst Beatle Prince Valiant haircut ever seen in my life.
It was truly amazing. It was.
So anyway, listen, about disc jockeys. And that, yeah, you know what? I think you're right, Rob. It was all a way of promoting...
The 70s show.
That awful show, the 70s.
Right, right, exactly.
When I really thought it was just a promotion for people in their 70s. Because that's how old George Michael is, in his 70s.
And do you see the interview where he's talking about music? And he
yes.
Just, you know how it is when an old guy kind of talks about music? It was weird.
So old.
Very weird.
So old.
Oh, no.
You know, someday I'm going to tell the true story about George Michael on this show.
Sure.
About George Michael and Alan Goodman.
Ah, yes.
Someday I will.
Someday.
Someday I will.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably be really pissed if he ever knew the truth, though.
Yeah, probably be a little upset.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, with his belt buckle and his cowboy hat.
You know, I think maybe we could tell that. Why couldn't we tell that?
It's your call.
Well, I don't see why we couldn't.
I don't know.
Listen, we're honest with our audience now, right?
Sure.
I mean, we didn't used to be honest with our audience. We worked at the other station.
I'm just wondering whether it's a good idea to tell that or not.
Oh, all right.
Statute of limitations and all.
Well, we didn't do anything illegal. Just a scam.
Yeah.
Just a scam that he got involved in.
Well, no, he wasn't involved in it. At all.
No, but I'm talking about...
Yeah, but just remember... If you're going to tell the story, tell it correctly.
I know, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't
that's
know.
That's what I'm saying. I'll tell
right.
the whole story.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a funny story. I think we should tell it. What do you think?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Come on, why?
I don't know. Just, you know, that little thing's going off in my head. I'm not sure. I don't think it could hurt anybody.
No, I don't think
that's,
so.
That's the thing. Nobody'd be hurt.
I think it shows how far we've come.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That we would be willing to talk about a scam that we were involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it certainly is the type of thing that we talk about other disc jockeys doing.
Right.
You know, when disc jockeys say that they're suspended.
Right.
When we tell you that we know something is made up, that we know
sure,
that
it's a publicity stunt.
Something's being done as a publicity stunt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's no big deal.
No, it really isn't.
It's no big deal. It was a long time ago, about 10 years ago, when Mike and I were doing the morning zoo show. We would get suspended like once every 3 months. But we'd only get suspended because the station knew that if they suspended us,
it would be good fodder.
That, like, it would be the lead story on the Channel 4 news. And what they had was, they had a tape that was already pre-made that says, WAVA apologizes for the comments made yesterday on the Don and Mike Morning Zoo. Don and Mike are suspended today and will be back tomorrow. And the truth of the matter is, every time that we were suspended, we had never really said anything bad.
Right.
They just did it, you know, to get us on the TV news. Mm-hmm. So, one time, it'd been a long time since we pulled that scam.
Sure.
And our general manager said, we're having a meeting with him, and he said, hey.
We had said something that was very controversial. I forgot what it was.
It was nothing that was awful, though. It might have been like, was it the Gloria Estefan thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Whatever it was nothing awful, but it was something that he got a couple of complaint calls.
I think it was contractual, I thought. I thought it was something about the contractor. We were complaining about being there and complaining about management to
that himself. Could have been it. That could have been
why,
it.
Because I know when a certain individual, when George was brought in, he was brought in to mediate between us.
Okay,
am I right about
yes,
that?
Yes,
you know, you're right.
If you're right, because it was us against them. You're
if we're
right.
going to tell this story, I want to make sure we get it
correct.
Right.
Okay. So, and this is where part of it's not made up and part of it's real. Then at the time, we really were frustrated working at this radio station we were working at.
Right.
And we did want to get out of our contract, and we did hate having a guy who counted how many records an hour we played.
And we were very upset, and we spent the better part of one show just railing against the I'm patching this together because I don't remember exactly how it happened.
I think it was during the Matt Farber era. Wasn't Matt the PD then?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, we had a program director who was just, his knowledge of radio could be fit in a thimble. The
right.
guy was just the dumbest guy we'd ever worked for. And he didn't like the fact that we talked about the behind-the-scenes stuff on the radio. And the more he said, don't talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff, the more we did it. And we would get conflicting messages because the general manager
right.
loved it. The general manager mm-hmm. would always come. The general manager was on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Matt Farber, who was the program director, hated being on the show. So I think you're absolutely right. For whatever reason, we got called into the GM's office.
And bear with us here, because we're working off memory, and it was significant at the time, but it's not something that we remember exactly what all
but I'm going to get to the gist of it. This is where George is involved. That we get called into Alan Goodman's office, the general manager, and he says, you know what I think? It's about time for another suspension.
Right.
And we all sat around his desk.
Didn't we go to like a hotel room or something?
Yes, we did.
To plot this?
Yes, we did. Because it had been about a year since we played this trick,
right.
where we get suspended and then we're the lead story on the news, like what has happened to Don and
I don't think it happened that way, because I will tell you this. I don't think we were as influential in this, because I believe that you and I thought that management was legit. Alan was legitimately upset. And then at that point, it was kind of like, I don't want to say it was his idea, but it was his idea.
Well, I don't remember any of. All I know is that we weren't really suspended.
We were not really suspended.
From WAVA.
We weren't really suspended, and you were not as mad at Alan as everybody thought you were.
Right. They'd all be
but
very.
But everybody thought, and I think, didn't George make an offer to you
yes.
know, he'd heard about this?
And yes. And now George
Michael.
Or you
Michael, called him or something
no,
like that?
He called me, that
okay.
I remember. George Michael used to come, like on April Fool's Day, he would come in and play records on our show. We'd take a day off and George would come in and
right.
play records. And we used to have George on our show all the time. So anyway, the story gets out that once again we've been suspended for something.
We're mad at management.
Right. Well, George calls up and he says, "Oh, listen, you can't do this, man. You're gonna throw away your beautiful career.
Right.
You can't do this." Now keep in mind.
And he says something like, "Let me talk to Alan."
Yeah. I can't say to him, "George, it's a scam."
Yeah, you were kind of like in between a rock and a hard place.
We're trying to get on Channel 4, so I told George. Call Alan Goodman, the general manager.
And the thread of truth through the whole thing is we were legitimately upset.
We were. But we were also at the same time working with Al to stoke this fire.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. So what happens is, now this part I do remember vividly.
This is a part in Alan's office?
Yeah, I remember you and me and Alan right. in Alan's office before George arrived. And Alan was running us through our parts, saying, now, you guys are going to be very mad. I'm going to be very mad. George is going to come in. Then I'm going to excuse you guys from the office.
I wasn't in that. You were in that with George, because I remember coming in after the fact. Because the big powwow, because George was your buddy, the big powwow, I couldn't sit in on. Do you remember that part?
Yes!
I had to, like, stay out in the hallway while this is going on, while this charade
giant.
Is going on. And I remember coming in, and that's the first time I saw the big buckle and the jeans.
So George comes in, and we have this fake meeting. I mean, George doesn't know it's fake, but it's fake.
Now, what happened
well,
in the
what
meeting?
Happens is, Alan talks to George.
Right.
Alan Goodman, the general manager, talks to George Michael.
Individually first,
yes.
before you
but
came
before
in.
Before I get in.
Right.
Then they call me in, and George says, listen, why can't you guys just work together? You guys do a great show. Alan just wants to support the show. And at this point, I'm just playing along. I said, okay, fine, that's good. Let's get Mike in here.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mike comes in.
That's why everybody's standing up. I remember that. For everybody milling around the conference, these little memories come back.
We're standing around, we're shaking hands.
Right.
And I remember then that they went on the air, and they said, you and I were not on the air that day.
We were not on the air.
They went on the air. Whoever was on the air went on the air and said, listen, we have great news. Don and Mike aren't suspended anymore, and we want to thank George Michael from Channel 4. And George called up, got on the air, and said, hey, I'm just glad to help out Don and Mike, and I'm glad to help Wava through this. And
that's
you know,
right.
The whole thing, he never knew.
That's it.
He never knew.
Now he knows along with everybody else.
He thought he was helping. Yeah, he thought he was helping. When actually it was, you know, it was just, I mean, we used to do crap like that to get on TV all the time.
If I remember this correctly, it was something along the lines of, you know, I really should suspend you guys for what you did. Wait a minute. Maybe I really will.
And it was something like, you know, we haven't done that for a long time.
And we became, you know, a more cohesive unit with management, at least for that month, you know, for about a month after that.
Right.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that was a fake suspension. That's how we know when a disc jockey says he's
sure.
being suspended.
Yeah, because we've done it.
That's
right.
How we know it's fake.
Sure.
I mean, if you really do something that's really bad...
Mm-hmm.
The disc jockey doesn't come on and talk about it, and management doesn't come on and talk about it. It's just one day,
right?
You're gone.
Sure.
You're just not there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, we've been through that also. We've been through the real suspension. We've been through the real break in a contract where really we were off the air for 4 months.
We've been through sitting down with a general manager who said, this new company that's coming in is very interested. The meeting was with a guy named Randy Bondgarten where he looked
he
us in the eye.
He was the worst!
His sole purpose, let me explain this, his sole purpose for coming into the radio station as the new general manager, which we didn't know at the time, was really to assist in the sale of the radio station.
And what they were going to do is sell the station to a bunch of goddamn Christians who were going to make it a religious format.
And his job was to come in and just make sure everything functioned. And apparently he had done this at many other properties. When he would come in, he was like the hatchet man who would be responsible for unloading the radio station. We didn't know this, and he sat down with us, and we said, we're very concerned about the station being sold. And he looked at us 2 weeks before the sale was announced, and he said, we have no intention of selling this radio station, when to sell these kind of properties takes months. And he had to have known this for months
yeah.
in advance.
He just was playing us.
Just right. a total, just rat
playing
bastard.
What difficult. A tool he was. He was the worst. Randy Bungarden was the worst general manager we've ever worked for.
And then, after they did sell it, they brought in the Christian broadcasters mm-hmm. who looked at us and said, We fully intend to keep your show on. And that's when we said, we're
yeah,
out of here.
We said goodbye.
You know, we said, okay, yeah, we that's fine. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
we respect.
And then we literally walked.
And then we walked off. Mm-hmm. And that was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was real. And then I'll give you a clue about
that was
how
a nervous summer, too.
How real it was, because we walked off. And the next day, the radio station went on the air. They had a promo. And they said, WAVA has gone on a diet. We cut 500 pounds of ugly fat from our morning show.
Because the guys that stayed behind, who, I'm happy to say, were all eventually fired by the Christian Broadcasting Company anyway. They were all the guys that, Chuck Beck,
yes.
who stuck around.
And Frank.
You know, and who dissed us because we had the foresight to realize this is just not going to happen.
Listen, there's no way that a Christian radio company is going to keep our show. There's
absolutely
no way.
Absolutely not. They were lying. We knew they were lying. We just walked. And so they're dissing us on the air.
And that's how you know it's real. Mm-hmm. When the radio station's coming on talking about how fat and ugly we are,
mm-hmm.
that's when you know that
over.
The ties have really been cut.
And then it was the rest of the summer basically waiting to see if we could get the job here,
1991.
Which we eventually got. But that was a very, very... Not only were we sitting at home, not only were we out of work at the time, and we didn't know whether we were going to have the gig, but we had to listen to the radio station with all the people that we had worked with, you know.
For five years.
All their little personal vendettas, like
right.
that guy Chuck Beck.
Every day was the reason why we hate Don and Mike Day on
Absolutely.
WAVA.
Absolutely.
Every single day they get on the morning show and they'd say, hey, good morning, it's 6 o'clock, guess what? This hour you're going to hear 12 records. You know why? Because Don and Mike aren't here this morning.
Because the program director foolishly thought that, hey, they're gone now, and now I can really slam them, and hey,
right.
You know, they're going to keep me on. No, not the case.
Don't you remember the week they had Frank do the morning show?
Oh, my God.
For 1 week they had a producer do the show by himself. The Great Shakes.
Right.
Frank Murphy. R.I.P.
That was the moment of truth for Frank Murphy, I believe.
Yes, because we wanted to bring him with us here.
Right.
And he made a salary demand that was out freaking rageous.
And that was where he we parted company with Frank.
So we said, listen, we're quitting. We'd like you to come with us. And he said, no, I feel more comfortable staying here.
And he did, and it was just a few weeks later, they were all gone.
We said goodbye.
They were. I mean, they were, because, I mean, this company came in, I think it was Salem Communications.
Yeah, they still own the station.
They still own the station. They had their agenda. They didn't want top 40 people in there.
I mean, you look at the portfolio of the stations that they own. They own 25 radio stations. All 25 of them are Christian radio stations.
Right. That's what they wanted to do. We were not a mix for that station.
Right. They called me and Micah. They sat us down. They said, we love your show. We're not going to change your show at all. And
right.
we walked out of the office and we said, these guys are lying to
I
us.
Believe you might have said something to me, and I remember it. You might have said, well, we just found out Christians can lie, too.
Yeah.
It was funny. It really was.
Neffers. But we can lie, too, because we lied to George.
Yeah.
And we've lied to George all these years.
That was a little white lie.
I mean, every time we see George, he brings it up to me.
Does he
like,
really?
Yeah, he'll say to me, he said to me at the Redskins game last year.
Right.
Oh, you remember that time I saved your ass? You owe me, Geronimo. You owe me.
What are you going to say to him when you see him at the Redskins games this year?
Going to avoid him.
That might be hard sure. to do. You know, George, he might find you.
Yeah.
I just, you know, we'll be doing our Super Bowl show, and all of a sudden a big hand will come down with his jewelry on it. You know, hey, what are you doing?
So anyway, you know, we weren't really suspended, but George thought we were, and then George thought that he got us out of a jam.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And George went on Channel 4 that night and talked about it.
We were very helped. We were very happy and thankful that he
it was nice. It was nice of him to do that.
That he would have done that if there had been.
Remember the good old days when we used to play Channel 4?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, if you're sitting at home at night, I call Mike up, I go, turn on Life at 5. And there would be all four of them, the news guy, the news girl,
right.
the weather guy, and the sports guy. And they were just talking about us.
Talking about us because we called them up in the morning.
Right.
Like when Katie Couric used to be the anchor lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them would say to her, hey, I heard Don and I called you and asked you about your panties today. You know, asked you about your underpants
That's
today.
Right. That's right.
We should just call you and go, do you believe this? Do you believe how stupid these people are? That they are talking about us on the news?
And here they are on the TV, which at the time we thought was the be-all end of.
They're sure. on the TV! Talking about us.
Sure.
Well, they learned. They don't talk about us anymore.
No,
not a bit.
No.
No.
No. Nobody does. No. Nobody yeah. writes about us. Nobody talks about us. People just, they just avoid us.
The only story that we're going to be the lead is the day we die.
Absolutely.
The day we die, then they will break in for a bulletin.
That's right.
Say, hallelujah. Hello, Channel 4 listeners.
Slimy potty talker. Dead.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be. The obit. It'll be fantastic.
They'll go, this is Jim Vance. Don and Mike are dead.
That's right. And we're planning to do that, incidentally. Die together. Just, you know, because we think it'll be neater that way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The guys who have used the word they're dead.
And since we're telling secrets today, let's let everybody know. If we both happen to be lucky enough to live to the age of 70, we're planning on getting in a big Cadillac convertible and driving off the rim of the Grand Canyon like Thelma and
Louise. That's our plan.
That's right. But we'll videotape the whole thing, and then we'll sell it. And it'll benefit our families.
That's nice.
Because we're going to take care of our families the way Derek Thomas didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Derek Thomas and his 7 illegitimate kids.
There you go.
All right, so listen. Wow, we really got off track there.
Yeah, what about that other disc jockey?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Okay, we got to do a break. We're going to talk about Chuck Knapp, but we ended up talking about George Michael.
Ended up talking about ourselves.
George Michael. Of course, we always end up talking about ourselves. That's our favorite topic on this show, ourselves.
It's always that.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This house is so gone crazy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Working delightfully non-blue, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
About this station, okay, because
yes.
We're kind of talking about this. Here, Rob, put the stuff over there.
Very distracting.
Yes.
This distracting is all this stuff.
No, it's almost as distracting, though. Okay, about the party here this weekend. You know, this came up very late in the show yesterday, and I just want to get on this topic for a second. On behalf of all the people that work here at our radio station who make no money and have to work awful hours,
yep.
You know, the station finally had a good ratings book.
Yeah.
Our show, as we mentioned, was number one in the ratings, and thank you again for that.
We appreciate it.
And some of the other shows also did very well. The Redskins got some big ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So the station, for the first time that we're on here, WJFK in D.C., for the first time ever, they're in the top five in the ratings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So they get everybody all stirred up. They put a memo out last week when the ratings came out that said, we will celebrate with a magnificent party.
Yeah. Best ratings in the station's history. This will be a shindig.
They say, stand by for details.
Mm-hmm.
And now, listen, I swear to God, I'm not talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm talking about people in the hall. You walk by in the hall and they say, hey, you going to the party?
Yeah, everybody's talking
about it. Oh, it's going to be great. I understand. Hey, did you see the memo? Big party coming up.
Yeah, it's at a great place, too. Really, really cool restaurant. A restaurant that's not only hard to get a table at, but it's very popular and it's very good.
Hey, Jeremy, I just saw you slinking by the window. Why don't you just come back in here so I don't have to call you up, please?
So we could get just a little more of an explanation as to why the thing was switched.
Okay, so they have reservations made. They're going to get a room at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody from the station's real excited about it. And the restaurant that they're going to have the party at is in Tyson's Corner,
right,
which is a 12-minute drive from the radio station. Even in rush hour traffic, you hop on 66 and you're there.
Private room, hors d'oeuvres, drinks, everything.
Right. Everybody's real psyched about it.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I think happened.
Yep.
Okay? Ken Stevens, the general manager,
mm-hmm.
you know, Ken the Jackal, he's never around. He manages this station and the station in Philly and the station in Baltimore.
Works out of his bedroom.
He has not been in the office all week long.
No, I haven't seen him. Is he alive?
So these guys, I spoke to him briefly on the telephone today, but he was up in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, they make the plan to have the party, and they put out the memo. And remember, yesterday we goofed on the memo
right
that Jeremy put out about it was like a production that someone in graphic arts class would do. Well, the way that I think that this is happening is that someone told Ken, listen, we're having a nice party for all of the employees at the radio station on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken said, that place is too nice.
Mm-hmm.
That place is too expensive.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Is too whatever, okay? Listen, trust me. Ken Stevens is a very evil man. He's no Saddam.
Did you broach the subject with him at all when you were on the phone with him today?
I did not, Mike, because we were arguing other things, like the logistics of broadcasting from an airplane.
Ah, I understand.
Yeah, we went, listen, Jesus Christ, did we go round and round about this. You know, he says, you can't do it. You guys, you can't broadcast from an airplane. I said, what if the airplane is already on its descent on the way in?
Mm-hmm.
What if they're like 3,000 feet off the ground?
Mm-hmm.
There's not much that we could screw up by turning on our little satellite thing. I said, that would make radio history. And then I said, Dan Rather has done it.
Right.
Dan Rather broadcast from an airplane.
Go right to the top. Go right to the top, to use your example.
And then there was a moment of silence, and Ken said, you're not seriously going to bring Dan Rather into this conversation. And I said, yes. I said, I've seen Dan Rather on TV broadcasting from an airplane. And he said, okay. And he called me back and he said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, as far as I know, the only time Dan Rather broadcast from an airplane was during the Vietnam War. And I said, no. I've seen him. I see it happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we were stuck on that.
So you were dancing on that, and you didn't get a chance to bring up the
party. No.
The party.
Although he did say, the last thing he said is, I'm going to try to make it in for the party tonight. Are you going?
Right.
And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to stop by for a second. He said, okay, got to go. Bye, click.
There you go.
Okay. So my theory, someone called Ken, called the boss, and told him what they had planned down here. He said, no, that place is too nice. That restaurant is too expensive. Now, rather than put out a memo that says that,
right,
a memo that says, Ken says we can't because it costs too much, and Ken wants to keep morale down around here.
Sure.
They put out this memo. New location. Since many people felt Tyson's was too far away, 12 minutes away.
Yeah. Many people, I think, probably one person.
Our bash will be much closer. Easy to drop by on your way home. Come to, and I won't say the name of the place, but we used to call it Trey Diarrhea.
Yes.
I understand it's under new management now.
Probably a better thing.
Okay. But it's like in an old Ponderosa building right down the street, right across the street from some flophouse motel.
You could throw a quarter at it that you just had in your mouth. You could throw a quarter right across the street and hit the building. It is very close to the building,
yeah.
But I'm not sure that the proximity has anything to do with it.
No, it's totally the price of this.
Dollars and cents.
And it really stinks. It really stinks. And there's one of the perpetrators, yeah. I don't doubt. Mr. Allen Line 1.
Absolutely.
I don't, you know, I just feel bad for the people at the station. Because
mm-hmm.
I know everybody was all abuzz about this. Hey, no pun intended.
Understood.
But, you know, hey, the station's going to do something nice for us.
That was a nice get dressed up, go out there, have a great time thing.
Yeah. And now everybody knows that we're just going to be having salsa tonight.
Right.
You know, we're going to that place.
I don't even feel like going, but I'm going to go because we should go. I mean, that's it. But I mean, it's one of those deals where it would have been incredible, and now it's going to be okay. Hey, but you know, anywhere we can get together with our coworkers is fine with me.
Well, speak for yourself.
Just, you know, you could rent a hall.
Well,
we all have potluck, bring beans.
Don't think that idea wasn't tossed around.
Yeah, really.
I do like a confirmation.
Charlie Broyhill's idea was one that the management smiled upon. That was bringing in the 12-foot sub and everybody cutting off a piece of sandwich. That was his idea.
You know, I'd just like to know either if Ken is the one that vetoed this, because I know he wouldn't mind probably taking the rap for it if he did. He probably... That it was common knowledge. Or I'd like to know the names of the many people who objected that the very nice restaurant that everybody wants to go to was too far away.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jeremy hiding under his desk right now.
He is hiding.
Well, this is
not going to go away today. No way.
My desk.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hey, listen, have you seen the gerbil around?
Yeah. Yeah, he's standing right in front of me.
Ah. Hey, would you send him back our way?
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
He's hiding. You know, he knows exactly where to go, where we can't reach him. He hides, and then finally we track him down.
I love to say, where's the gerbil? She says he's standing right in front of me.
Right in front of me. Yeah, she knows.
Oh, now he comes by. Do you see the look on his face? Like, what? You want to talk to me? Big surprise.
He's the point, man.
All right, here he is now.
Ken's not here.
Here he is. He's like one of Hitler's bad guys. You know, when Hitler would order someone killed, he wouldn't do it himself. He would send one of his best generals.
Yes, and he's also the propaganda minister.
Oh, he certainly is. Hello, Jeremy.
Why, hello.
Hello, okay.
What is that device you have in your hand?
This is a portable CD-ROM drive.
Well, that's wonderful. Why don't you put it down for a minute? We need to speak with you.
Fantastic. Listen, I'll give you one of two choices here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Either you can say the truth. As I think it is, that Ken said that he didn't want to pay the money to go to the nice place. Or would you please supply us with a list of the people who felt that Tyson's Corner was too far away?
Ken did not give me a reason, but he told me to move it closer.
He didn't tell you to move it closer. He'd tell you to move it cheaper?
No, actually, he didn't tell me that.
Oh, so he said move it closer.
Mm-hmm.
Was that did he know the place that you were planning on having it?
Mm-hmm.
No, come on. See, this is agonizing, man, because we're so close to the truth.
Mm-hmm. Very close to the truth.
Like the X-Files.
The truth is not closer, because truth be known, I know where Ken Stevens lives. Tyson's Corner is pretty convenient to his house.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Ken want it there?
I like the Tyson idea as well. Why don't you call and ask him?
There. That is the that is the CBS way, ladies and gentlemen.
Is he on the train, do you think?
I don't know. He's probably still in Philadelphia.
All right, would you dial him up there, Charlie?
Thank you.
So we think this is what are your thoughts on it? We think necessarily not the proximity, but it's more of a financial issue that Ken was probably concerned about.
I was completely behind the Tyson's thing.
Right.
I even spent a little time on a little menu.
Right.
But I think we'll have fun wherever we go.
Now, do you think it was a financial thing more than a proximity thing?
I have no idea.
Of course you have an idea. Of course. You're a very smart man. Of course you have
an idea. Don't you think it's bad for morale?
There's Gordon. People? Gordon's here. Gordon,
yeah, come on
in here. Come on in here, Gordon.
Yeah.
Gordon is our man.
G. Gordon Liddy now coming into the...
Hey, don't go anywhere, Jeremy.
Jeremy, don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Come on.
I love this ganging up on you.
Come on in, Jeremy.
Hey, come on in, G-Man.
Come on, Jeremy.
Come on.
Jeremy, stand over here with Gordon next to the microphone and enjoy the, this
guy. Is Mike live?
Yes,
live,
G-Man.
All right, look, I was way over in Maryland, right?
And right.
I'd have to go all the way back and come all the way back here, which was fine. And I had talked Mrs. Liddy into coming. I said, you know, we're going to go to a really nice place.
Yeah.
I said, for once.
Correct.
I can't believe, you know, obviously, Ken Stevens must be out of town, right? Because for once they have a decent place.
That's right.
And I said, you know, it's the thing for all our stuff. So she said, okay, I'll go. And then afterwards, you know, we can dine there.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's fine. And you know, Mrs. Liddy is very particular about where she dines. And she said, you know, they had such a nice place where they had the Christmas party.
Right.
That maybe, you know, they're good. And I said, well, you remember this place. This is where we went and met the family of John Pop and his fiance at the time.
And now John knows
bride.
Good food. John knows where to eat.
John, oh, yeah, I mean, yes. he eats. So, at any rate, I don't know whether John's going to be there because he was just kneecapped today. You heard about
yes,
that.
Yes, knee surgery.
Wow. They put the old corkscrew up his knee there. So, at any rate, you know, I just called and Mrs. Liddy. She said, well, if you feel you have to go. I said, look, honey, I understand that it's the local Burger King or something down
there. Yes, it is, Jim.
That they're going to.
Right.
I'm going to go all the way back. But I'm going to ask, I'm came in here really to ask your advice.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, because you're with the company longer than I'm with the company and everything like this.
Right.
If I don't go tonight, is everybody going to be really bummed out and think,
no,
something?
No, absolutely not.
Not with the new location, Gordon.
As long as it's down the street, no.
I don't want to take Mrs. Liddy to a joint like that.
No, you
good for you.
Oh, my God. Well, then don't.
Because it'll be my ass.
No,
I mean, she'll
fine.
Be all over.
You're covered.
I'll take her, you know. And then for a week, I'll hear about her.
She won't have a good time. Yeah, then she'll be on your ass about
guys,
it.
Yeah. I just want to say congratulations. You got a great book.
Right back at you, Gordon, to you.
Very, very well. And it's wonderful like that, but I don't think I'll be there tonight.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
We'll pass along your best wishes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Gordon.
Well, and I want to tell you something. To those who work here, that's a real morale downer right there.
That's right.
Because, hey, you're not going to be able to hang out with the G-Man tonight.
G-Man's not going to be there, and, you know, who can blame him? And you know, we can't blame him for not going.
I've heard several people say they'll only stay just but a minute.
Okay, sure. Hold on a second. Joining us now
from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
From Philadelphia. Are you on the train?
I'm about to be.
Ken, did you get a chance to hear any of that Gordon was saying a moment ago?
No, they didn't have me on hold.
Listen, it was really a great moment because it was the three of us really coming together and uniting once again. You know, a lot of people ask me seriously, what brought us and Liddy together?
Right.
And the truth is, we want to defeat Ken.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I swear to God about that. That's true.
Sure.
So the three of us were discussing this party tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, the first place the party was going to be was a great place.
Really a terrific location. Everybody's very excited about it.
What the hell was that?
What was that?
That's me zipping my zipper.
My God, Ken.
Are you in the John?
Please, Ken, more promotional money?
Hey, Ken.
Ken, what the hell are you doing?
I'm leaving so I can catch a train and come to the party.
Bill.
Part of your plan to make sure I miss the train and don't come to the party?
No, we just were talking about the location of the party.
Okay, listen, here's my theory. And just please be honest with you, because I think we all know how evil you are down when you get underneath your skin.
Yeah, that's all we really want is honesty. Listen,
I thought that when you found out where the party was going to be, and it's a nice upscale place that would cost you a few bucks, you said, hell no, I'm not paying for that.
Right.
Because I heard you already pitched a fit about the bar bill at the Christmas party. So, and you said, no, put it at that cheap joint down the street.
Now, you know, we can live with that if we just get the honest answer.
That's not true.
It's not true?
Really?
True. They told me it was a place in a mall somewhere, and I said, come on. I want to find a bar by the radio station where we can have a party and have fun. I want a mall.
You could have had a party that you should ask your wife about. I bet your wife has been to that place.
Yeah.
That's a nice place, man.
It's too late now because I'm sure that room is already booked. Yeah.
Nobody, listen, I really had nothing to do with the decision.
Here we go.
Well, then who made the decision?
Always the way.
Then who made the decision? Jeremy, did you make it?
Jeremy.
Ah, Jeremy. Oh, Jeremy happens to be here. Jeremy?
Tammy, come on in here. Tammy just came by and was going nuts, our promotions director. Tammy, you were nodding your head. You were demonstrating very emotionally out there. What's going on? Tammy knows these things.
This is a Friday revolt right now. Right now. This is like in Planet of the Apes, man.
But let me just leave you with this.
Jeremy's in here too,
Tammy.
What?
The last thing I said to Jeremy was, Jeremy, you do whatever you want. I want to have a nice party.
Jeremy, is that true or not?
True.
Hold
Step
on.
Up to the mic.
Jeremy happens to be here now.
Yes. Yes, you did.
I love this. This is rare when we get these two guys in the same room.
Ken, so you know, Jeremy said that it was your decision not to have the party in the nice place.
Wrong.
Wrong.
I questioned the location of the event. I didn't question the niceness of the place. In fact, I couldn't tell you the name of the place now, except that I think he told me it was in a mall.
It is in a mall.
It is in a mall.
And it is a very nice place.
But it's okay.
Mall.
I mean, I was thinking like that's an Orange Julius stand.
No.
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 Told you
not at all.
Location issue.
Oh, but listen, no, you're the guilty one here, I think.
Yeah.
Either that or like, you know, this happens a lot, too.
I'll be convicted because I'm not on the line to defend myself.
Well, this is good, though. This is good having you both here. Step up to the microphone, Jeremy.
You know,
please.
I think this happens a lot if you get Ken and Jeremy in a room together and you're trying to figure out who's lying.
Yes,
a lot of times Ken will say, I'm not lying, and even if he was lying,
right.
Like Jeremy will have to be the one to say...
Of course.
You know.
It's the pecking order.
Because it's like Hitler and his lieutenants.
Yeah,
I won't be able to hear you when I hang up, so if he wants to trash me after I'm gone, it's okay. Live with it.
All right, thank you, Ken.
Hi, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Ken.
Goodbye.
Well,
you guys
again,
are all the same.
Once again, a straight answer is given. We can never figure anything out around
here. What did Tammy want to say? Does Tammy want to come in?
No, she doesn't want to come in.
No, she doesn't want to come in.
This building is filled with fear, ladies and gentlemen.
Ruled by fear.
Ruled by fear.
You know who I think might have made that decision?
Hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Let me call the woman who really runs this station.
Very good. Oh, my God, really?
She could be the mystery player here.
Hello?
Hey, Miss Bobby?
Hello, Miss Bobby.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Listen,
this party, was that your decision?
Pardon me?
This whole thing with the party, Bobby, was it your decision?
My decision?
Yeah, did you have anything to do with it?
No, Jeremy did the whole thing all by himself. I told him how nice it would be to go out to Tyson's and for me to drive an extra half an hour to get there and stay here till 7 o'clock.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, Jesus. Are you the one that put the fly in? No,
you know better.
Did you complain about how far away it was?
Well, actually.
Bobby, it's only 10 minutes away.
No, it's not. It's a half an hour.
If Miss Bobby complained, you know, no one can underestimate this woman's power at the station.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
She's like, you know, with the Wizard of Oz. She's like, you know, the guy behind the curtain.
Absolutely. Pushing all the buttons, making everything work.
But it's nice to have it close, where everybody's already here.
I believe, Don, we have our answer.
All right, I got you. Thank you, Miss Bobby.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Thank you, Miss Bobby. See you at the party.
Oh, yeah, see you there.
Maybe.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I don't know. I might have to pull a Liddy.
Boy, that's incredible. Jeremy, I think she might have gotten you off the hook a little bit. Did she protest? He's just nodding. Say it on the microphone, at least. Give us that.
He's
just
afraid to say anything about
just
anybody.
Want everybody to be happy.
Well, we're not. Everybody's pissed. Everybody's pissed at you. Goodbye, Jeremy.
Goodbye to all of you.
See you later.
Goodbye.
There he goes.
Goodbye, you Nimrod.
Piece of equipment in his hands.
Yeah. Good job, Rob. Hey, slam the door again, Rob.
Slam it again.
Yeah, baby.
Well, I didn't know that. That was very good investigative journalism there at the end.
Yeah. How many games do the people at this station have to play?
Unreal.
Why can't they just say, listen, let's have a nice party.
Right.
You know, let's get all the employees together and
sure.
Have some good cheer.
Absolutely.
No, but no.
Oh, man.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hello, my friend.
You want me to throw some more Vaseline into this one?
Some more Vaseline.
Where you're going.
What?
I've been to the restaurant you're going to.
Oh, don't say the name of the place.
I'm not going to say the name. I'm not going to have a stampede to your party. They fixed it up. It's nice.
Yeah.
The food is maybe a step above, but not possibly a step below the same dog food that Rudy's going to eat. It was horrible.
Well, see, we don't want to do that because, I mean, they're a fine establishment for what they do, and they're doing it. It's just not the kind of place we wanted to go to. We wanted to go to a place that was just in a different
ballpark. If they had offered it up as the original spot for the party,
then it would have been fine.
Everybody would have said, yeah, that's typical, you know, typical right. Ken Stevens.
And I've been there a bunch of times, and the food is fine. The food is fine there.
Since they've changed names?
No, I haven't been there since they changed names.
I went there.
Names, the food is horrendous.
Okay.
All right. That's how we want.
I just
want
to say, I've eaten there, and when I was done, my meal. Okay.
You guys had the cranberry juice, right?
I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, happy Friday, everybody. Right here in Satan's Playland.
Here it is.
And congratulations, everybody. Keep up the good work.
Way to go, buck passers.
That's how you keep people working hard. Okay, we've got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now, even moister. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now let's get a jam session going here.
Okay, very good.
This is all born because one of my goofy neighbors actually suggested to me that I get together with other guys in my neighborhood to form like a garage band.
You'd dig it. No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
No, it's not you.
No, I'm not.
It violates all your rules.
It would. You know, I got a good relationship with all of my neighbors because I never socialize with them.
Right, yeah. Right.
I got the greatest relationship because here's what it is. You drive by and you wave.
That's it.
Halloween, you bring the kids to their house. I got one party a year that I have to go to in my neighborhood, the big Christmas party.
Right.
And other than that, I could pick my neighbors out of a lineup.
But they know you as a good neighbor, and that's what's important.
So I thought, no, I certainly wouldn't want to jam with my neighbors, but
right.
What about some of our listeners?
Sure.
Now we have the piano. Oh, we got the piano.
All right, good. We got the piano. That's good.
Here is Cliff.
How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Cliff?
Yeah.
Let's hear that piano, my friend.
All right, here you go.
Oh, that's The Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Were you doing that one-handed, Cliff?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
All right, good man. Hold the line. That's Cliff. Now, here is Bob. Bob is the guy with the trumpet. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Bob?
How you doing?
Can we hear your trumpet?
Can you hear me? Are we doing Louie Louie? What, we gonna do Louie Louie?
Yeah, we will try Louie Louie.
Here, let me give a little piece of it.
All right, let me hear your trumpet.
Are you a professional, Bob?
Semi-professional.
Semi-professional, very good.
All right, hold the line. Now, if all the guys we put together can actually do a song that sounds anything like the actual song they're supposed to be doing,
with the technical obstacles, it will be a true triumph if we're able to pull this off.
But if they can do it, they'll all win prizes. Now, here's Jim from California, and Jim, you have what? Did you have rhythm or bass?
I had the bass.
Okay. Bass. Can you really crank that up, Jim? Because we were having trouble hearing it earlier.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course.
He's doing a little jam session.
The guitars
here.
Need to be louder, and the trumpet needs to be muted or softer if you can get it.
Good luck with this setup, Buzz.
Boy, Jim clearing a little lunger out of the way there. See, you need that. I think the bass in this case is really going to drive the band. It sounds good, Jim.
All right, hold on there, Jim, now.
What?
Now, joining us in Tampa, here is, I said it again, it's St. Pete, really. Here's Patrick.
How you doing?
Doing great. And, Pat, you have an electric guitar?
Yes, I have an important question before we do this.
Yes.
I think the other musicians will agree with me. Can we agree on a key to play in?
Well, hold on. Let's put them all together. Let's put all these guys together now. You know, we're still without percussion. We have no drummer. Yeah, let's see. We have.
I'm looking at A flat, man.
A flat.
A flat.
A flat. Okay.
A
flat. Okay with all you guys.
A flat. D flat. E flat.
Should we try to figure out some way to we can do a sound check thing?
Why don't you guys play in Shelley Duvall? That's A flat. All right. Yeah. Sure. Go ahead, guys. Do a warm up or whatever you got to do.
Okay.
Shelley Duvall is a flat.
There's my A.
All right, they're just doing a little warm-up right now. Nice A.
In a key of A.
So now these guys all hold the phone up to their shoulders while they're playing.
And it's an easy meter on this, as a drummer would say.
I'd say these guys got it.
Yeah. All right, so Bob on trumpet's going to be the solo guy.
Ba-da-da. Ba-da. Ba-da-da.
Right now they're just really kind of like playing it, but they're not all coordinated.
That's pretty good, though, for four guys on the telephone from all around the country. If there's a drummer out there, that would make this band so sweet.
Uh-huh. It's got to be a drummer, man. We get drummers calling this show all the time.
Bam, bam.
There we go.
You know, they're pretty excellent considering the fact
that
these are all just guys. Just guys that never met each other.
The possibilities are limitless.
I really didn't think it would happen this fast or this easy. I'm going to have to change songs. Get him to do like Star Spangled Banner or something.
Or like Johnny Be Good.
Hey, guys?
Yeah.
Are y'all there? Cliff, Jim, Bob, yeah. Patrick?
Yeah.
Hold the piano guy still play. Piano guy? Hey, listen, y'all kicked some ass. That
way
was
to go,
great.
Guys.
Yeah.
That's hard to do over the phone.
Hey, you're going to sing? You're going to sing over that now?
Can you play it back, man?
All right. Yeah, I tell you what. We'll sing.
All right.
We'll sing.
All right. Thank you. I'll play piano, man.
Okay, so we're going to do we're going to sing Louie Louie.
Well, hold
right?
on. Are we singing Louie Louie, or do you want to do Piano Man by Elton John?
By Billy Joel, you mean.
You what?
No, you don't want to do Piano Man no. by Billy Joel, no.
No, we don't want to do her song.
Sing me a song, Piano Man. Now, John, at the bar is a friend of mine. It gets me my drinks for free. And he's quick with a joke or a light of your smoke. But there's some place that he'd rather be. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, I got kind of carried away there.
Wow. We don't want Piano Man, but we will do Louie Louie. Guys, in the key of A, with Mike and I singing, and are you ready?
A flat.
And here we go, Ann. You guys ready?
A flat, okay.
You guys ready?
Give him the count, Don.
Okay, and one, two, one, two, three, four. Louie Louie. Oh, say we gotta go now.
Before we started singing, it's a bit of a train wreck there. And he's talking to Davey, who's still in the Navy, and probably will be for life.
Listen, we got prizes for you guys.
Bravo, guys!
Way to go. You had Shag? Shag, all right, you want to try it one time, go ahead with the Piano Man.
Hold on.
Boring me to death with Piano Man, though.
Piano players, man. They're educated.
All right, Cliff, go ahead.
Oh, that's beautiful, man.
That's got to be the guitarist that say
that. Moves
me.
They asked me to play the Cheers song.
Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, all right, Piano Man was not a big hit.
I know, yeah.
With our impromptu jam session.
Somebody's got a harmonica. That's the piano guy, I think.
Hey, guys?
Yeah.
Listen, all of you guys, y'all win prizes here.
Bravo, gentlemen!
You guys did better. I thought it would take us like an hour to get people put together to do this, but you guys were incredible and with no drummer.
Don, I think this is only the beginning. I think this can be bigger and better. We can make it better than it was before.
Well, listen, guys, you've each won a pay-per-view of The Saint. Oh, boy, I saw that movie this weekend.
Not worth getting?
Well, if it's free...
get a pay-per-view of the Sex, Pies, and Videotape.
Well, let's not get out of hand here, okay? You'll take The Saint and you'll like it.
Oh, okay.
The Price is Right. Val Kilmer and his gigantic lips in the movie The Saint, now playing on pay-per-view, we'll give you guys that. But, you know what? Let me give each of you guys $50, too.
Yeah, okay? Okay.
There you go.
Who doesn't like money? Okay? You
money's good.
All right, so get
the gig.
Get the money and get the movie, and that would be Cliff and Jim and Bob and Patrick.
Thanks.
Thank you, dudes.
Woo!
Thank you. We should come out to your show Thursday night and play for you.
Oh, no.
All right.
No.
Oh, no, that might be fun. Except, yeah.
All-star jam.
Yeah, but how will we get your instruments in there?
Yeah, there are only certain kind of instruments we like at those shows, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, listen, play us out of here as we go to break.
I'll make you horny.
Try something different, though. How about, do you know anything about the Beach Boys?
No.
How about Star Spangled Banner? No. You know, Louie Louie is like the only universal song there is, right? What about Have a Holly Jolly Christmas?
How about Jingle Bells? That's the easiest one to do.
Do you guys know Jingle Bells? There it is.
Everybody!
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In with a shout and out with a whimper.
Whatever. I guess I should have stopped when we were ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Cliff and Jim and Bob and Patrick. Now, is that a record or is a guy really playing that? He's really playing that place? I love that song, whatever that song is, the ba-bum ba-bum song.
That was the was that you, Jim?
That was Patrick.
And what was that you were playing, Patrick?
I'm playing a Fender Telecaster. I decided to take over. I do that on stage, too, sometimes.
What was the song? What's that called?
Play that out on the key of G.
What is the song? Yeah.
I play it in E. It's Pipeline.
Pipeline. Okay, right. All right. Play us out with that, guys. Here they are.
Here we go. From
the Off the Phone Rebos.
3-4.
This is the music that's playing in my head 24 hours a day. That's why I can't sleep at night.
The bass and guitar player on the same frequency.
Yeah, baby. Cool.
That's good.
That's good. They're pretty good. Thank you, fellas. All right, they're going to play us out. And on that, we'll be right back. Let's give you a real treat early in the show and welcome back. And I love it when celebrities make return appearances with us. Julio Iglesias.
Julio!
How are you? How is everybody there?
Hey, it's the J-Man. How are you, Julio?
I'm still alive, as always.
Oh, you sound fantastic, Julio.
Now, listen, Julio, of course, is quite the wordsmith, quite the songsmith, and quite the you-know-what-smith.
Oh, yes, the ladies love him.
And Julio's doing all kinds of concerts in cities that we broadcast to. And we're going to give Julio a plug here. But first, I want to know, where are you calling us from right now, Julio?
From China, Massachusetts.
He's a kidder.
China, Massachusetts.
Miami.
From Miami.
I was yesterday in Alabama, and before yesterday I was in South Carolina, and before I was in the moon.
And in the moon.
And now you're calling from Miami?
And I'm calling you from Miami.
Are you like poolside, Julio, in a chaise lounge with one of those umbrella drinks, sitting on a cordless phone talking to us?
I see. No. I'm in the bed, just watching my new baby, which is 8 days old.
Oh, hey, how about that?
Oh, congratulations.
He's a new father.
I'm being a new papa.
Incredible. I just looked into the garden. It looked very much like him, you know. I don't know what happened there.
Yes, that's right. Julio's longtime girlfriend.
It's not funny.
I know. Of course not.
Julio's longtime girlfriend gave birth to Julio's latest child. So you haven't made her an honest woman yet, huh, Julio?
No, I'm a correct guy now. I changed my life completely for the last week.
The last week.
There you go.
How many times? Let me ask you something. And I'm glad that I know now that your gal pal just had a baby. How many times have you had sex that day?
With my brains or with my heart?
With your heart and your brains, Julio.
How many times?
150 times a minute. It's amazing. I can't stop that.
All sex
it's
with
too
Julio.
Much.
Yes.
It's my sensuality goes on the stage so much that after when I go back home I miss it and have to get back again.
That's fantastic. And being a new father is wonderful for you.
That's great because he's a cute guy. He's a cute baby. He's very healthy and it's a gift from heaven.
That's great.
Now, were you in there, Julio? Were you one of those guys that was in there with the video camera and everything?
No, I was there first because my father is a gynecologist and I was there. It was a beautiful, beautiful love story there.
What? A lot of the times with Julio, we don't understand quite what he says, but we love having him on anyway.
You know what the love story means? You know what? When you see your girlfriend or your wife or somebody that you love very much,
right.
Give birth your baby, you appreciate that very much. Life, you appreciate women much more.
You appreciate her very much because she gave you a baby.
No, for many reasons.
For many reasons.
You know,
for many reasons.
What is the baby's name, Julio?
Michael.
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 Oh, that's my name. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I was thinking about you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
How can I ask you a very personal question? How long do you think it'll be until she's back in the saddle again? If you know what I mean.
No, I don't know exactly.
Okay, let me explain it this way. Michael here on our show.
Yes.
His wife had a baby a couple of months ago.
Right.
Yes.
And he had to wait quite a long time before she was ready.
Before the airport resumed normal operations, if you understand what we're talking about, Julio.
Depends which class of plane you have.
Yeah. Depends on whatever plane we're on, I guess. Yes. Whatever.
Well, now listen. He's just getting it now.
Sure.
Just getting it now. Julio, when you come out here, I've been told when you come to the Washington... Now, let me do some plugs for Julio. He'll be at the Patriot Center, Fairfax, Virginia, on Friday. That's the 3rd of October.
Yes.
Then if you listen to us in Boise, Idaho...
Yeah.
Oh, boy, what are you going to do in Boise? He's going to be at the Bank of America Center.
I'm going to be happy to eat potatoes specifically.
Yes, of course.
On the 9th, and then starting the week of the 29th, he'll be at Caesars in Las Vegas. Those are all, I love doing that plug.
I love saying somebody's going to be at Caesars.
All cities that we broadcast to. Julio.
Are you going to go with us? Why you not? Don and Mike, we've been together before. Why don't you come to Las Vegas? It's beautiful there.
Well, now listen, here's what I was going to ask you. Someone from your office, Julio, said that occasionally you ask disc jockeys to come up on stage with you.
Yes.
Disc jockeys that you like.
You know that, both of you. You want to sing with me again?
Yes, we would like to come. I don't want to wait for you to ask us. I'm going to ask.
No, I said yes already. What do you want to play with me? Which place? In Fairfax or in...
Yes, Fairfax.
In Fairfax.
Yes, Julio,
that's
Fairfax.
Right. Which song you want to sing with me?
Whatever song you want us to sing.
In which language?
Well, in English. That's in American.
Okay, in American.
In American.
Well,
we can't.
Your big hit, of course, to all the girls I've loved before.
Okay, perfect. I have rehearsals at 5:30.
Here?
At the center in the 3rd of October. I will wait for you at 5:30
okay.
In the stage. We rehearse, and if you are in a good mood, we can sing even with the pants off, okay?
With
okay.
The pants off!
I believe
sing with our pants off.
Fantastic!
Okay, we'll
bravo, Julio!
We'll do that. Now listen, we want you to come see us on that day of the show, okay?
Well, how long is from the Patriot Center to your radio?
From the Patriot Center to our radio station is only like 15 minutes, so you better come down here so we can eyeball you, okay?
You're a big star. You can get a driver.
I will be there.
Okay.
What time do you want me to be there?
Anytime you want. We go on at 3 o'clock.
You know what happened? I go there, I pick you up, and we go to the rehearsal together.
Ah, there you go. That's a date.
That's fantastic.
Who knows if you really mean it or not, but I know that I'm counting on it.
I mean it, but you have to really remind me that, okay? I promise you we'll do that.
Okay.
That's good, Julio. We're in.
Okay.
In the afternoon, in the radio, we go back to rehearsals, and after we take the pants off, okay?
Okay, then we take the pants off. You got it.
Hey, we're going to take our pants off with Julio.
You got it. Well, Julio, we hope to see you on Friday the 3rd.
You will. I will be there, and I will take you from the radio to rehearsals.
Okay, thank you.
Big kiss for both of you, okay?
Thank you.
Have a nice sex life.
Okay, we will. Thank you, Julio. We'll
bravo.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Julio Iglesias, everyone.
I have to figure out how to say in the Mexican, Spanish, can I smell your fingers?
I don't know that one. I don't know.
Because I want to say that to Julio. I want to be able to smell his fingers.
You should sing it, too, once we get the translation.
Can I smell your fingers now? You know what's so great about having him on?
What?
We don't understand one thing he says.
He is so hard to understand on the phone. And a lot of times we hear say, yeah, fantastic.
And nothing like a bad cordless phone to enhance that.
But you know what? I dig the fact that Julio Iglesias digs us.
Sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do call-ins and stuff. He requested a call-in today on the show because he had a good time. And, you know, somewhere there he was saying we should all take our pants off together, right?
Are you close to Fairfax? You come over and we rehearse and take our pants off.
All right, Julio Iglesias.
There you go.
And I would love to be able to work out that deal. If he would come in and do the beginning of the show with us.
Yes.
And then we can go with him in the limo. You know we have the technical capabilities to broadcast from a car.
Of course we do.
Wouldn't that be something?
We broadcast from the Julio limo all the way over to the rehearsal. And we could pull that off. Our day with Julio.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'd die for that. That would be the greatest.
Hello. Yes, I tell you right now.
Didn't understand a word. It was all like merci, blah, blah, blah.
So hard to follow.
Julio Iglesias.
Yeah, but he's going to come by here. He's really going to. Yeah. He wants to. He likes us for some reason. He likes us.
Yeah. Now, his manager had already mentioned a lot of those details to our super producer, Charlie Broyhill, mm-hmm. about us maybe going up on stage with him, which I guess is like a regular thing he does with disc jockeys.
Sure, we'll have a blast.
I bet he's never done it with DJs like us before.
Absolutely not.
May I smell your fingers now?
They look so happy, Julio.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my radio god.
Hi.
In Austin.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going great, thank you.
Well, yeah, I'd like to say, well, as soon as that truck goes by, that, yeah, Emmett Smith is definitely turning out to be a big wuss this year. It's definitely getting on my nerves living here. You know, I'm not a Cowboys fan per se. I actually root for the
Emmett team. Has no touchdowns now.
He's really making Donnie mad.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
What's up? I know how to say, can I smell your fingers in Spanish?
Oh, please, yes.
Okay, it goes like this. Puedo olerte los dedos.
What is it again?
let me break it down for you.
Okay.
It's puedo.
Like P-U-E-D-O?
Yes.
Puedo.
Puedo hueles.
By the way, Barbara Walters says Play-Doh.
Yes.
Puedo.
Puedo huelete.
Puedo huelete.
Okay, huelete means smell. Huelete.
Puede huelete.
Puedo huelete.
Puedo huelete lo deos.
Listen, write it down.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We'll have someone get it. You can transcribe it on a card for us. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
And somehow when you start speaking Spanish on any kind of connection, it becomes...
Hey, Don?
Yes, Mike. Hi, Don. I'm calling and I have a Spanish translation for you. It goes something like this.
Well, you know what I always say. Ding dong diddly diaz. All right, our thanks to Julio Iglesias. All right, and here's... Thank you, Jimmy. Someone has just faxed it into us. It is... Puedo oler tus dedos. Did I say that wrong or right?
I don't know. Let me see what it says.
Puedo oler tus dedos.
Puedo oler tus dedos.
Can I smell your fingers now?
Yes, the pants come off. We rehearse at 5:30. The pants fall to the floor.
Can I smell your fingers now?
Bueno.
Okay, Julio.
All right.
Thank you, Julio. Wouldn't it be great if we did a show where every day at the beginning of the show some famous celebrity would call us?
That would get us off the aircraft carrier in fine fashion.
That'd be like doing a real show, man.
Yeah. Great.
That never happens here.
No way.
Hope you enjoyed it. That's like the only time that ever happens on this show. We will be right back.
Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.